welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see what we got here. We got Dave's jerk list today. Looking forward to that. Ugh. We're going to play Mr. Brightside with an assist from Tom Likas. Up early doing show prep, but finding time to jump in on Mr. Brightside.
I think he's up around 3:30 probably, just to get started.
He's a hard worker. I don't think it's that hard. It's probably about 5:15 or so when he starts show prep. He comes on at... comes on at 3 o'clock, so it's a lot of prep. Also, Johnny Knoxville is going to be in studio, and Oscar De La Hoya is going to be on the phone. So, two of my favorite guys, and I'm not sure if I've ever met Johnny Knoxville, though maybe I have, and I forgot. I have low self-esteem, so if there's a person's a decent-sized celebrity and I've met them, I assume I haven't. It's a weird thing. We'll ask him. If you put a gun to my head and said, have you ever met Johnny Knoxville, I would just flip a coin and hope for the best.
I only remember meeting Steve-O because he tried to kill you.
I can still feel his hands trying to choke the life out of my windpipe here, yes. All right, so lots of show. Let me start by saying I was reading the message board last night after I got home. And a couple things. First off, and also Dave and I, when we were in New York yesterday going to the Museum of Radio and Television, or Television and Radio, whatever it was, we ran into a guy who listens on the internet. I think he downloads the stuff and puts it on his iPod. I don't know how the technology works, but it seems to me there's a fair amount of people who are listening to the show who aren't in any of the markets we're in.
He was stalking you. He was stationed just outside the door.
Stalking and talking is just one letter off.
But it was nice.
Yes. Talking, stepping stone to stalking. But he was waiting out front, and I was flattered. You know, the idea that people get in their car and throw the show on the radio is flattering enough, but the idea that people go through the time to find it on the internet and download it and bring it into their little iPod and bring it into work and whatever, that's very flattering, although once you get into the rhythm of that, I could see why you'd want to do it. Get it in your little pod there and bring it with you to work. But anyway, I guess they get it from adamcarolla.com.
I thought that's what he
podcast.
Explained. Yes.
The podcast. Well, anyway, on the message board, somebody had a question about how I got into doing improvisational comedy and where I started and how the process worked. And I realize I've talked about showbiz and how I got into showbiz a couple of times, but I never really got into that process. So I'll do that quickly so whatever your name is from Chicago can follow in my footsteps, perhaps. I got started taking groundling classes out here in Los Angeles. The groundlings, well, John Lovitz, and I think Will Ferrell was
Sherry
even.
Sherry O'Terry.
It's a Pee Wee Herman. The list goes on and on of groundlings. I think Will Ferrell was in, he was about the same place. No, he was probably a little behind me, actually. It was another guy's roommate who was a friend of mine from the groundlings. But anyway, did the groundlings. You do like a basic class, and then they either tell you to repeat it, go home, or they move you on to the next whatever. I got to move on to the next whatever, but there were some caveats. I had to take an acting class in between because I had no idea how to act. Also, you know, I grew up in North Hollywood, you know, so they'd say upstage or stage left or downstage. I would just start spinning around and fall down on the ground. I had no idea. Most of the people, they did some plays in high school and college, maybe some theater majors and stuff like that. I really was a greenhorn, but decent sense of humor. So they moved me on. Then I went to intermediate. Then I went to something called Writing Lab, where you just write for 10 minutes and then throw it up on stage. It's really good. Really good workout, and then the next advanced, and then they vote to see whether you get into the Sunday company or not.
Very competitive to get into that.
Very competitive, yes. Some would say too competitive, because the way you do it is you do two shows, they judge you on those two shows, and then they vote. But here's the lesson in life, everybody. I did a very good first show. But then the second show is a month and a half later, and they vote the following morning. So I did a very good first show, a crappy second show, and then they vote the following morning, and they basically go off of what the last thing they saw. You could you could essentially do nothing the first show, have a great second show. And if that's the way life works in general, it's the closest to time for someone to render a decision. That's the one that counts the most. I did a good one, a bad one. They voted the next day. They did not vote me in. And I was now a boat with no rudder. I was probably by the now, mind you, it had taken 5 years to get to this point because they're crowded and they bump you and it'd be a year in between, you know, intermediate and advanced or whatever it is. And in between, you take some other classes and stuff, but they're not official. It's kind of weird. But by the time you get to the point where they're voting on you for the Sunday show, this is, you know, you're 11 and this is the Mouseketeers and you've made the final cut and it's coming to the vote the following day. I mean, it is. What are you yapping at, Brian, there? Come on, buddy. What are you trying to get Dave for? You want Dave to look at the TV? Dave, look. Hey, Dave, the TV. All right. Well, what's going on?
Well, it is actually, if you look at that, Terrell Owens hospitalized after suicide attempt.
Wow, that's kind of breaking news.
That is breaking news.
All right.
Well, we could. All right.
I will
interrupt.
Have an update
we can
for
interrupt
you.
My story for that.
Holy
I find
hell,
it to be breaking.
That's crazy. Wow. That really is crazy. I don't want to interrupt your story.
I forgive you guys. I'm sorry.
Uh huh. All right.
I do hear your noise.
Yes.
I'm a 10 of ace.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
this
by the
story
way,
will still be here in 10 minutes when we come back from break, and we'll have a full update.
Doesn't all sound right. Like he died anyway.
Oh,
so
okay.
If he had died, now we interrupt.
Yes, we
what
interrupt.
Happened was your dreams died.
Yes, my dreams died.
And in the meantime, by the way, you say you're doing these classes and everything, but unlike probably your classmates at the time, you're going off at 6 a.m. to swing the hammer in the morning each day.
Yes, and I'm spending my money not on car insurance and not on a dental program, but I'm spending it all on these classes and stuff. Mm-hmm. Really, I have an extra, you know, $150 at the end of each month, and I just spend it on these classes. Again, should have probably on, you know, hindsight being 2020, got some car insurance out of it. But anyway, I'm moving forward, and then they cut me, and I'm lost. Because like I said, 5 years, you get in with this clique, who's going to make it, who's not. All these greats came out of there. And then when they cut you, they just cut you, and then you're just cut. There's no place to go. You don't know anybody else. Somebody was starting a troupe called the Acme Comedy Theater, which is now a decent-sized comedy theater on La Brea. But it wasn't Acme at the time. It was called the Two Roads Theater Players, which was in North Hollywood. And my stripper girlfriend, Lindsay, came home with the newspaper. Things circled in like drama log, you know, improv troupe starting up, you know. And I just, you know, I was just swinging a hammer. We're living in a crappy apartment in Hollywood with no parking. It was a single. It was not a one bedroom. It says one room and a bathroom. It was horrible. And she sent me over there, and I went there and joined the Acme Theater the following day because I got in on the ground floor. They were starting, and, you know, eight people showed up, and I was one of them. And we started, and a couple years later, that then turned into Acme. And then at a certain point, I quit, not because I got successful doing radio or anything like that. I quit just because at a certain point I'd done it for about 7 years. I wasn't getting anywhere. There's no payday for doing improvisational acting. There was no Whose Line Is It Anyway? There wasn't really any Comedy Central back then. There wasn't any outlet. There's nothing to do. If you were stand-up, that's tangible. At least you could make a living working a cruise ship. But if you did improvisational comedy, if you weren't sitcom material, and I never thought of myself as sitcom material, then there was no place to work. It was a weird thing back in the day, and it wasn't that long ago, but it was, you know, 15 years ago in change when I was hanging around all these people doing comedy. There was no cable stations. Essentially, there was nowhere to go, and everyone kind of knew it. So there's this large group of people, and there's a couple of jobs in sitcoms, but not really. What are you going to do? Like join the cast of Cheers? They're in their seventh season. You're not going to do anything. It's a wonder that everyone just kept doing it.
Yeah, SNL adds maybe a cast member or two every year.
Yeah,
if you're not
a writer.
That would be the outside sort of pipe dream is maybe they'd come sniffing around Acme or the Groundlings as they often do. Well, not Acme, but they have now, or the Groundlings, Second City. But if you think about all the people that were in Second City, all the people that are in Groundlings, Acme, and then all these other ancillary fringe groups, you know, just start up little improv troops. It's a large population, and there's essentially no openings. It's like you're running some sort of trade tech college for a job that doesn't exist. You're going to learn to work on flying saucers. You'll get certified.
Yeah, it'll cost you a lot of money along the way.
But there's no jobs. It costs a lot of money, take up a lot of time. Meanwhile, there's no jobs. I don't even know why I kept doing. And at a certain point, I said, well, screw it. Now, the only tangible way to make money would be doing, like, stand-up, for instance. And so I just got into doing stand-up, though I always hated it. I just did it because I thought, well, this is an actual tangible way to possibly make a paycheck down the road. So I quit and got into that. And then wasn't much longer after that I got into radio.
Well, you're glossing over it, though. I mean, at that point, though, so you give up on the Acme stuff and the improv stuff at what, 27-ish?
I am I'm probably... I get started about 21, 22. I go through the Groundlings. Somewhere about 26, 27, I get thrown out. I wander around for about a year. Then I end up at Acme. I hang out for about 2-3 years. And somewhere around 29, 28, 29, I say, screw it. I got nowhere to go.
You had a deadline. You've told me the story before that you made a deadline for yourself that when you turn 30, that's when you give up on your dreams of show business, right?
Right. And now I'm 28 in a couple months, and I just realize how much more group improv can I actually do? How many? We need a location. I heard barbershop.
The theme is a Western.
The theme is a Western. It's directed by Peckinpah. I need an occupation. I think we can do better than barber. Please, people, come on now, focus. I literally did shows. We did a show for my grandparents once. My two grandparents showed up at the theater. It used to be the greatest because the only people that would show up at our shows were people that we invited. And I remember one week, and once every 4 years, I got my grandparents came out, my grandma and my grandpa, and I said to everyone in the cast, who'd you invite? No. Jim? No. Vanessa? No. Did you invite anybody? No. And I did the math very quickly. I invited my grandparents tonight. You guys invited nobody? That means only my grandparents. The only person that ever showed up off the street was Fred Willard. Fred Willard would show up about every 6 months and just watch a show. But there was literally nobody in this 99-seat theater. And we would have to oftentimes on a Friday or Saturday night have to decide whether we're going to do the show or not. It'd be like, okay, there's three people out there. If two more come in the next 10 minutes, we'll do the show. If it's just the three people, I think we should scrub it tonight and just go get an early start on the booze. But one time, my grandparents were just sitting there, and we said, screw it. Let's do the show anyway. And we did it for my grandparents, who gave it a thumbs down, by the way. But point is, yes, that's where I learned my who, what, and where, and not only that, but. And eventually, after about 7-8 years, I figured I learned enough, and it was time to... I don't know what, but there wasn't going to be a payday there. Good training, hard to make a buck.
Well, you will have to do part two of this story at some point where you then, well, like I say, the self-imposed deadline of when I turn 30, then I give it up, and how you came, your boxing training at that point, and so on and so forth. That's an interesting segment of the yarn as well.
I shall, David. The point is if you're interested in doing it, go ahead and do it. I don't know if it's going to lead to anything, but you shouldn't go into anything that way. Do it because you love to do it, and that'll be reward enough. And then if you can get a payday, that'll just be icing on top of your cake. And the next beats I have for you who are starting out in the improv game is don't worry about being funny. That's when you get into trouble. When you start trying to be funny, you stop listening, you start trying to wedge in jokes, and you get lost immediately. You can tell every time. Just... do not worry about being funny.
I certainly
don't. That will
don't.
Come. I wasn't talking to you, David. I'd like you to focus on
it. Still
funny.
Resonates.
No, listen. That is the thing you get from doing this. Listen. Listen. I'll tell you that one of the best games they play is they turn the lights off. Two people assume some sort of physical activity, and then they turn the lights on. And the first person that makes the call, the next person's got to go along with them. Now, what ends up happening is I get down on one knee and I start messing around with something. Dave goes over to the other side of the stage and they turn the lights on. And Dave says, how are you coming with that campfire? And I say, Well, I'll be done with the campfire as soon as you help me change this flat that I'm working on. And then I've denied it because I've decided I was changing a tire. When he saw me, he decided I was building a campfire. And now we have two different scenes going.
You got to be in the moment.
Right. And here's the deal. You can say changing the tire, but you got to get there first. If he says, how's that campfire going? Then you got to say, it's going good, but it'd be going better if we hadn't been stranded out here, if you'd brought a map. Now, now you got to see, well, you're the one who wanted to, you know, get back to nature. It was your idea, brother, to after Dad's death, to go back and see the, you know, spread his ashes over the open, trail, you know, and whatever the scenario is. You need to listen, buy in, and go along.
It sounds like good training.
That's the key. It is.
And also, what I heard from that is that your stripper girlfriend motivated you.
Yes, my stripper girlfriend got me into my second improv troupe, which ultimately became Acme Theater. Yes, thank you. Who were Alex Borstein. I met over
right.
there, who was in
yes.
here not too long ago from the
Very
Family
talented.
Guy. All right. Yes, she is. Where are we? We're going to play Mr. Brightside. You have a problem. You call up. I'll put a spin on it. I'll make you feel better about yourself. Perhaps I'll call back on some of my improv training.
By the way, Terrell Owens does have a bit of a problem. Just to give you a quick one sentence on it. He apparently had an allergic reaction to some pain medication. More on that later, but that's
all right, but he didn't try
story.
To kill himself.
Well, that's what they're saying on Fox, but according to the Seattle Times, he had an allergic reaction to pain medication and was admitted to Baylor Medical Center last night.
We will take ourselves a break. Lycus is on the phone. He's waiting for us, and we'll play a little Mr. Brightside. 866-901-ADAM after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for Mr. Brightside to cheer you up. You call in with a problem at 866-901-ADAM, and Adam will put a happy spin on it.
What's the problem, baby doll?
I was working, and I got hurt really bad on the job. And the next day, I got fired.
Here's what I want to say to all the people that were fired at their job. A lot of people don't have a job to get fired from.
Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
It always feels like the examples we use are solid fives to five and a half.
I know there was an eight.
Oh, really?
I had to have been an eight that day.
Maybe I'm not as funny as I think I am. Always feels like we have a better one to choose from than the one we go with in most examples.
This is no way to start Mr. Brightside.
No, maybe not.
It is the way because, see, we start, here's the bright side. See, we start, we set expectations low, and then you exceed them.
Ah.
See?
Good.
But is it just me, or does it feel like I may have had some better singers than the one we just heard?
Perhaps.
Well, I think
that would be, if there was a line somewhere in the middle, I feel like that one would be just below the middle. Hmm. Yeah?
Hugging the midline.
Yes, if that was a softball team, I would have picked that joke about sixth or seventh. Not first round. Not top three. Yes?
Possibly.
Okay. Now, isn't it supposed to work? And I know maybe if I got more involved, we could solve this. But isn't it supposed to work where you're supposed to take your best one and do it?
Stands to reason.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Okay.
ESPN, when they show the highlights,
it's
they
usually
don't,
a dunk
they don't
or
show
something.
The ground out to second base.
You are a blinding, brilliant light from heaven.
To be fair, that would have been a fielder's choice.
Mm-hmm. Easy
maybe, maybe I moved the runner along, but I got thrown out at first. All right. Where were we? Let's not live in the past. Tom Lycus. What's happening, Tom?
Hello, Adam.
Thank you for waking up early and being part of the show, Tom.
You know, that was a sacrifice bunt.
Yeah.
Rhymes with what you think of women.
Yes. Yes. Right you are, dear. But I was up early. Mm-hmm. Checking on the overseas markets and Googling myself.
I Googled myself before I went to bed.
It helps you sleep sometimes.
That's right. Well, I never really talked about that, or Tom doesn't speak much about that because he gets so many different ladies from so many different walks of life. But
yes, I do. And the key is, boys, to have game.
Right.
And the guys who get married, they have no game there.
I, right. I understand. And, you know, Tom, I've seen
you. And I do have game.
No, I've seen you, but I've seen you in person. You're not exactly Rico Suave.
I do wear dark sunglasses, a black T-shirt, blue jeans, and black sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the look that I troll all across these 50 states.
Well, the ladies seem to love it.
It works for you.
Yes, and I'm usually in some sort of a remote broadcast setup.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm behind a makeshift control board shouting, dump that bitch into a microphone.
Well, again, we're honored that you would be a part of our little radio
all mine, dear.
Show. All right. Well, let's get started. Shall we get started?
Here we go.
Got problems? Need cheering up? Talk to Mr. Brightside, Adam Carolla.
Just put on a happy face.
Well, here's an opportunity to repair what was broken from the past. Pete?
Hello, Adam.
You're going to get fired from work?
Hello, Dad. Yeah.
Hello, son.
What's up, Pete?
I'm not going to hit my sales quota for the quarter.
Oh, you may get fired from work?
Yeah.
Well, I got a zinger that I always like to use. Which is, at least you had a job.
Oh.
That is some great stuff. Dave, you're not laughing. Come on, that's good stuff. That's on the best of right there.
Wait, what does this guy sell?
That's a good point. What do you sell, Pete?
Computers.
Sells computers. Now, do you have a lady, Pete?
I do.
Okay, and what'd she think about this?
She doesn't know yet.
better that she thinks you're always unemployed. Because if a man has money coming in, dear, and there's money coming through that funnel, she'll want to know about it, and she'll want to spend it. Mm-hmm. So I say cry poverty.
Uh-huh. Oh. So it's better for his relationship that he be out of a job.
Yes.
Pete, does the old lady work?
She does.
Mm-hmm. What's she do?
She's at a product launching company.
Now I'm confused. Do they introduce new products, or do they physically launch them using some sort of trebuchet or catapult system? Because I've always been confused. I would love to be a part of a company that launched new products, not got them started, but actually sent them into orbit.
Yes, are her products at the International Space Station, dear?
It's a good one, Tom.
Tom's on it today.
Oh, wow. Boy. Oh, wow.
Pete, you feel better, don't you?
Finally. You guys need to buy any computers?
No, we don't want any computers. But look, here's, you know, for me... First off, Tom sounds like a crazed mad scientist this morning. I like that. So, Pete, the good news is Tom says you shouldn't have a job anyway. That way your old lady can't spend your money.
Yes.
And then I say at least you have a job to be fired from. A lot of people are jobless. All right, Pete. Besides, get out. Who the hell wants to sell copier toner or computers or whatever you're doing for a living your whole life? What's your muse? What do you really want to do?
An actor.
All right.
Oh, boy. Oh, whoa.
Unrealistic, wouldn't you say, Tom Likas?
Ooh-wee.
Anthony?
Yes. I would say pursue another field. Hello there.
Yes, Anthony.
Hey, what's up, Adam?
I'm doing pretty good. You're on with Tom Likas.
How you doing?
Do you care?
Yeah, I care.
All right.
Well, I'm doing great.
What's the problem, Anthony? What can we do for you?
Well, I've been seeing this girl, and she hasn't told me she had a kid. What do I do?
Right up Tom's alley.
Oh, boy, right you are, Teresa.
And she's getting to her. She wants to be attached, but I'm kind of like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
She wants to be attached to you and wants you to be attached to her and her child.
Mm-hmm.
I have said on Likas 101 for many, many years, and Adam, I know you've heard this.
Mm.
I say never, ever date a single mother.
Had not heard that one before, and I got to say, I listen quite carefully to each show.
I say it every Thursday shortly after I say this show's about getting laid.
Well, I heard that one time.
I say it all the time, and then I say don't date single mothers, and then I talk about the $40 rule.
Oh, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, now, as I've said, Tom, the $40 rule started somewhere in the mid-80s when you were on in Phoenix. It seems like with inflation, I mean, gas was $1.50 a gallon when you started the $40 date rule. Now that gas is upwards of $3 a gallon, shouldn't we bump it up to at least $55 or $60?
And now you're Alan Greenspan. Please, no questioning the professor, dear.
Sorry.
You will be in detention.
All I'm saying is
I was very nice to you when you were on my program.
That's true. Well, listen, I'm saying 100 years from now, when Tom Likas the Third is doing the radio show.
There will be no Tom Likas the Third, but go ahead.
And he's saying $40 rule. Meanwhile, it's $40 for a stick of gum. It's just the math's not going to work.
Yeah, I mean, a martini's $12 now, right, Tom?
Yes, so perhaps I should also raise the minimums on vagina money.
But, Tom, you do believe if you're taking a lady out on a date, you should juice him up a little bit, right?
What I believe, and I have said this many times on Likas 101. Mm-hmm. I believe that you should eat a hearty meal before a date.
Mm-hmm.
I believe my boys should really, really eat. Mm-hmm. And when you get to that restaurant, you order a salad.
Mm-hmm.
And she will follow suit.
Mm-hmm.
And no woman is going to order a hearty meal when you're sitting there eating a salad.
Mm.
And yes, always get them juiced up.
And you're saying if by the third date they don't eat a sack lunch, if you know what I'm saying,
right,
Tom, it's time to move on.
Oh, I just got that.
The three-date minimum rule, absolutely time to move on.
Well, Tom, we don't have time to talk to anybody else, but I am looking at the screen here, and there is...
And what do you see?
Well, we got a lot of people with a lot of problems. One guy has botulism. Another person has a dyslexic son. Denise is suffering from sunstroke. Robert got his face burned off in an industrial accident. Gerald was born without skin. Sharon.
Born without
skin. Yeah. Wouldn't seem funny at first glance. Sharon had spider laid eggs in her ear while she was sleeping.
That's right.
Francine has a retarded son that's currently on fire. I don't know why she's not calling the fire department, but apparently he's ablaze as we speak.
Oh, wow.
Doug has bone cancer.
He's retarded inferno.
Doug's got the bone cancer.
Oh, boy.
Josh is a hemophiliac. Denise was put in the drunk tank overnight and raped repeatedly by a Mexican guard. Marfan syndrome, prolapsed anus, cerebral palsy. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Well, Tom Likas, again, thank you for being so generous with your time. What if people want to reach you via the web?
If you'd like to reach Melanie, you could call us 1-800-580-TOM. That's 1-800-580-866. Or you can email me. My email address is my name. Tom at blowmeuptom.com.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Thank you, dear.
Okay. We'll speak to you next week.
Yes.
We'll be listening this afternoon as well.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
All right. The great Tom Likas. Loves Teresa. Doesn't seem to want to acknowledge Dave's existence.
I don't think he's ever said hello to Dave.
No.
Well, I think to be fair to Likas, he is such an alpha male that he looks at other bulls as just competitors who are vying for the same prize.
Whereas that makes me a cow.
No, you're the prey, baby.
No, you're the cow.
Yeah.
Prey you want to eat. Teresa, you want to hump. Maybe a little eating before the humping, but not too much.
I don't know if I like where this is going.
Point is all men are competition, you understand.
And yet he seems to respect you.
Well, that's how maybe I've earned his respect. Maybe we've locked antlers a few times, both have a few battle scars, and know just to stay away from each other. Look, there are plenty of cow slash horse to go around. Thank you. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the news. T.
Yes, Anna Nicole Smith's attorney went on Larry King Live last night and dropped a bombshell.
Mm-hmm.
I will have that for you and more.
We'll do that after this.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's your final chance to outbook August in September.
Mike August is the name of the guy who normally books our talent. That's why it's Outbook August.
Beat him and you'll win $10,000.
It's 10 grand of my money.
Is it Willie Nelson?
He gave me a generous tour of your tour bus, and it smelled like bong water.
Oh, yeah.
Or Tony Hawk.
It feels like you guys should break into song right here.
The Barbie twins. Probably not, because Big Tad got Howard Stern.
Jimmy told me you're the worst father. Like you tune out the kids and the wife.
Tough, but not unbeatable. But hurry up. You only have until Friday to outbook August in September. Now back to Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. My hand will be shaking like a palsy victim when I sign that check, but I will sign a check. $10,000. My money. Yes, my money.
Hmm.
Not Miller Lite bucks or station money. My money.
Get out of mom's house.
I mean, you know, and it looks just about certain now. Although, I'll tell you this. I mean, the Howard Stern, obviously, is probably bigger, but I bet you there's some youngsters out there who would say Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville in person, in the flesh. And again, that counts for something, and he may be doing something.
If he staples himself or something like that, you know?
Right. All right, so he'll be in a little bit later on. Also, Oscar De La Hoya, Dave's Jerk List, all still coming up. But first, the news with Teresa Strasser.
In the wake of former President Bill Clinton's combative interview on Fox News last week, you might remember, here's a little snippet.
You got that little smirk on your face, and you think you're so clever.
That did not go well. Now,
he was talking to the lady that was performing oral on him, though. I mean, to put that in a context, he was not talking to the person that was interviewing him.
He was talking to Chris Wallace over at the Fox News network. And Condoleezza Rice came out and defended Bush. And now Hillary Clinton fired back at Condoleezza. Let's take a listen.
I'm certain that if my husband and his national security team had been shown a classified report entitled Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the United States, he would have taken it more seriously than history suggests it was taken by our current president.
Let me say your husband. You mean Bill Clinton or the vibrator? Please.
The senator was referring to a classified brief given to Bush in August 2001.
When do you think the last time those guys had sex?
Well, they had Chelsea.
Late 80s? Yeah, okay. So I guess whatever, deduct 9 months from whatever her age is or add 9 months to whatever age is, and that'd be the last time?
There was probably a sorry F in there somewhere during the Jennifer Flowers era.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Good point.
And then another for the Lewinsky era. That's three. Okay. A bombshell was dropped last night on Larry King Live. We were just talking about this over the break. Her attorney, Howard K. Stern, went on the show live from the Bahamas to discuss
Ted
publicly.
Ted booked him as well, by the way.
He booked Howard Stern and Howard K. Stern.
He wasn't taking any chances.
For the first time, he publicly discussed who is the father of Anna Nicole's baby girl named Danny Lynn Hope that she had just 3 days before her 20-year-old son died. Here is Howard K. Stern admitting for the first time who is the baby daddy.
Anna and I have been in a relationship and we love each other, and it's been going on for a very long time. And because of my relationship as her lawyer, we felt that it was best to keep everything hidden.
Sure have. So you are the father?
Yes, sir. Proud father.
Let me say this. If you have a traveling companion and you're not gay, I'll assume you're boffing them in the hotel. Traveling companion means one of two things. Either you're nailing the person or you're gay and you want to appear straight. That's the traveling companion. Well, you know, when you're an old fruitcake, you get a younger chick to travel around with you so you don't seem as fruity. But if you're both young and nobody's gay and they're your traveling or constant companion, then you're nailing them.
Well, he was in the room while she had her C-section, and to me, that was a tip-off. I mean, you have to be pretty close to somebody to be in the room during their C-section.
Yeah, A or B section, no big deal, but C section,
that's close.
You're in the room, that's intimate.
Okay, so Paris Hilton charged yesterday with driving under the influence for her little run-in back on September 7th when she was pulled over in her Mercedes SLR with a blood alcohol of 0.08. Mm. Her arraignment is later this month. If she's convicted, she could be sentenced to 6 months in jail, fined $1,000, but the minimum penalty for a first-time offender is a fine, probation, and a little bit of rehab.
Mm.
Which is
again,
what I'm guessing.
The biggest crime is her driving around that $500,000 German piece of machinery like it was nothing, throwing her little scrunchies into the passenger seat and having her little Hello Kitty notepad with all the glitters all over, just tossing food wrappers, going through drive-thrus and stuff. That McLaren. And by the way, I was wrong, and it takes a big man to admit it. I said that thing had a V12. It is a V8 that pumps out 600 and something horsepower. Well, and she's driving it.
Well, perhaps a bigger crime is that Hilton once told the LA Times in an interview that the taste of booze, quote, grosses me out. She reportedly only had a single margarita at a charity event before her arrest.
Let me explain what this is like for me. Paris Hilton driving around this McLaren SLR Mercedes. Yes. I know you guys, you and Dave, you're not car people. You don't know one from another, so it doesn't really offend you. But picture a giant, and I'm going to say this is equivalent, so I can put into some kind of context for you two. Picture a giant jewel-encrusted golden dreidel, okay? And Osama bin Laden was using it like a beanbag chair. Can you feel it now?
Yeah.
Can you feel it
really
now?
Really hits home.
You understand? Picture a giant silk yarmulke that some ditzy blonde just defecated in and then wiped her ass with the Torah.
Stop it. I'm getting spilkus.
I'm getting sores. I got a bad case of it. Now, here's a last story. We got a guy on the line now. His name's James Cavallo. Here's the story. You may have read about it in People. He was recently in the news for turning in his son. His son committed a bank robbery, stole about $6,000. The father, the acting police chief in Moore Township, Pennsylvania, recognized his son from a bank robbery photo that was in the local paper. So, accompanied by another detective, James went to his son's house to confront him and turned him in. Apparently, he was admitted to spending some of the money on gambling and drugs. At the time of the robbery, he was high on cocaine. So we have the father, James Cavallo, on the line.
My dad's done that to me as well.
He turned you in?
Well, he called the cops to my house. And I said, well, what's the charges? What's the deal? And they said, well, your dad called and he's pretty sure you did something.
Doesn't know what?
Nothing specific. Just about once a year, he'll send the cops over, assuming I must be up to something. Thanks, Pops. James?
Yes, sir.
Wow, sound a little like Tom Likas. What's happening?
Oh, not much. How about you?
Well, first off, thank you for your honesty. I mean, not many men would do this.
Well, you're welcome. But I guess I had selfish motives. I was pretty much afraid of what, you know, he had already let me know that he was capable of this, and I wasn't sure. At that point, I wasn't even sure where he was. So he could have been robbing another bank for all I know.
And you're scared he might get hurt or hurt somebody else in the process.
Somebody else, yeah.
Right.
He was missing for 2 days before the robbery. His wife called me up, and me and my wife, and said that he's gone and that all their money is gone and that he was doing cocaine again.
You're the acting police chief, right?
Yes.
So there must have been an element of embarrassment with this in terms of coming out with it.
Absolutely.
And when did you realize that you saw the picture and then realized this is my son?
Well, I was off those 2 days that he was missing. I went back on the Wednesday of that week and just picked up a newspaper and saw the surveillance photo. And I was pretty sure at that time, but I wanted to be 100% sure. So I asked to see some more surveillance photos from the detective, and as soon as I saw the other photos, one in particular of my son walking out of the bank, I told the detective. He said, "You know, do you know who it is?" I said, "Well, you know, Gary, I think it's my son." And so they went from there.
And he's a junior as well, right?
Yes, he is.
Which is, and listen, double-edged sword. This is why I didn't go Junior with my kid's name, because if he spins out and starts robbing banks, I don't want, hey, it's Adam Carolla, Junior, out there robbing banks. So James Cavallo is the acting police chief, and James Cavallo Jr. is in jail right now, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what are they going to charge him with, and what's it look like for him?
I think they charge him with robbery, theft, and receiving. I guess his maximum sentence could be like up to 25 years.
Was it armed bank robbery?
No. He indicated he had a weapon, but he didn't have a weapon.
So as far as the law goes, you go in with a gun and the gun is loaded. That's worse than going in with a gun where the gun isn't loaded, which is worse than saying you have a gun and not showing it?
I think whether he had a gun or not, it's going to be the same, only because he threatened that he had a gun. So I'm really not sure, but I'm sure that the courts are going to look at it as the same. And you got to look at the perspective of the teller,
right?
You know, in the counter, she was terrorized because she thought that he had a gun. So
yeah, but still better than looking down the barrel of a shotgun.
That is better, yes.
And he was obviously high on cocaine at the time. Yeah. So part of the argument was these were the drugs doing the talking. Does he have prior arrests?
He had one when he was a juvenile. Nothing big.
It's a weird thing. I know a cop or two, and I know their sons, and they're holy hellraisers, both these guys. And it seems like a lot of family, ironically, of law enforcement are hellraisers.
I'm not sure why that is. I think it's the pastor's kid syndrome, you know? The kids want to be... I know as my kids got older, they told me things that happened in school and how they had to go pretty far to the other end of the extreme to prove that they were cool, you know.
Right.
They weren't goody two shoes or
right. And also, I would also say that some of it is not just nurture, but it's nature. It's in the genes. The guys who are attracted to law enforcement are guys that don't mind mixing it up, guys that don't mind violence, guys that don't shy away from confrontation, and oftentimes those things turn just a little bit can put you on the other side of the badge.
That's exactly right.
It's a thin blue line, they say.
Thin blue line. All right, well, James, first off, I think Dave, that's Dave Damashek over here, should probably give you a get-out-of-jail-free jerk card because... I feel like this must have been tearing at your heart. You did the right thing. I wish more parents would show responsibility when it came to their children. And think about how much better society would be if parents found their kid was crossing the line, not doing right, possibly harming themselves or other people, and intervened instead of beating on the cop's back when the cop was trying to put them in the back of the squad car.
That's true. I can't tell you how many letters I've received from all over the country, and actually phone calls also. One in particular was a woman whose son was using cocaine, spent all his money, but she was enabling him by giving him money, getting him out of trouble. Mm-hmm. She told me that he eventually killed himself and that he did it while she was on the phone with him.
Wow. So
she called me to encourage me that I did the right thing.
Yes. You may have saved his life. Look, hopefully because he doesn't have a long record and because he didn't actually use a weapon in the act of robbing the bank, maybe he gets off with a handful of years and he comes out sober.
Yeah.
Thanks, James.
All right. You guys have a good day.
Good luck to you. This is why I've told my son, even though he's not even 4 months of age, I've said, look, I have two bank accounts. If you clean one of them out, there's still a second one. And you know what's in that second one? $4,000, which is exactly how much it costs to get a drifter to kill you. So as soon as that one goes to zero, I then open up the other account, I give it to the drifter, and you're gone by the weekend.
He understands.
I've laid it all out. Laid it all out to the lad, and he knew what I was saying. He knew. I think he knew. He was throwing up while I was doing it and falling asleep simultaneously, but he knew it.
Well, Police Chief James Cavallo had a story about, a very sad story about a suicide, and let's get to the Terrell Owens story quickly. I am Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one, sports. do it, Dave.
Yes, it seems that it's true. Fox News at the top of the show reported that it looked like he did try to commit suicide, but then no other media source was saying as much. Now they all seem to say that he is doing it. As a matter of fact, here's a news anchor discussing it.
He told rescue workers he had been depressed, and he even popped two more pain pills in his mouth. After the rescue workers arrived, they then tried to pry those pills out of there. Owens told the fire rescue crews that he had taken five of the 40 pain pills in the bottle.
Five?
Yes, of
five?
Course. Now, T.O.
I'm on six right now.
Really? That's like a Pez
and
to me.
And a fifth.
Well,
yeah.
Just to go back, he had surgery on his finger last week. He broke it playing in their last game against the Redskins, and so he had surgery, and so he was hospitalized overnight because he supposedly had a bad reaction to the medication. But now it appears, yes, he tried to take his own life.
Do you know if he's had any background, any depression or?
Oh, yes. He has a long history of that narcissism covering. And I think he concedes as much that he has self-esteem issues.
Whenever you hear him interviewed, eventually he'll break down and talk about his grandmother and how much he was made fun of as a youth. I mean, there's serious issues going on there. I feel sorry for the paramedics that had to pry the two Percocets out of his mouth, by the way, because I think he could crush a yak's femur with that jaw of his. I couldn't imagine going into Terrell Owens' mouth to try to fish out two things. And just FYI, if I'm ever working as a paramedic or just standing around and somebody tries to shove something in their mouth, I ain't going in after it. I don't care if it's a hand grenade. Chomp away. I'm heading for the hills.
I think he explains it best, T.O. himself, this morning. Here he is.
I was always going. Going during the movies and hating stand up. Going during presentation and hating stand out. I said to my doctor, I have a going problem. He said, you have a growing problem.
So he OD'd on Avodart. He was peeing too much.
Yeah, I was so distracted by the horrible quality of that
I just
tuned
feel so,
out completely.
I feel so badly. Not since Dennis Rodman had the loaded gun in the outside the arena in Detroit do I recall a big sports store. Star being suicidal.
Yeah, he's now my favorite. He's gone from last to first. And Barry Bonds, if you're listening, you're one suicide attempt away from winning over the hearts and minds of America.
Yeah, I would have predicted
Percocets
him
away.
To do this.
Be nice. Actually, it'd be nice if he succeeded. Then, Barry, if you're listening and you succeed, then we'll really love you.
That does seem fishy. You're right. Five pills? Is that? I wouldn't know, but it seems like that wouldn't be enough to kill
people,
somebody, would it?
Dr. Drew used to say he would treat people with 100 pill a day habit on Vicodin. I mean, look, there's fat housewives from Indiana who are doing 30 pills a day. Please,
I remember reading that Matthew Perry would take 60 Vicodin a day. I read that in a news report once at his height of drug use. 60.
Wow.
This is only five.
All right.
Unbelievable.
Gonna have to step it up to you.
Here we go. Well, I'll just say this quickly is Kobe Bryant. Must be proud of the Dodgers this morning. They went to Colorado last night and drilled some locals, specifically the Rockies. Big win because it gives them a one-game lead in the wild card race over the Phillies, who lost last night. Blue Bums have two more with the Colorados. Then it's off to San Francisco to close out the regular season. Hopefully just an hors d'oeuvre for the big postseason.
Yeah.
Trailing still the Padres by two, who keep on winning games. And listen, T.O. is the story. Let's go out with that.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right. So let's set the table here. Johnny Knoxville is going to be coming in. We're going to have him with the big three from Windy City Heat coming out. Windy City Heat, I believe, came out yesterday. That's a movie I produced along with Kimmel and a couple other people. I have a small part in it. Many, many cameos, including myself and Kimmel and Dane Cook and folks like that. One of the funniest movies ever made, and I'm not saying that because I was a producer, but I'm saying it because I've seen it, and I laugh my ass off every time. I don't star in it, but the stars of it are coming in as well. As Johnny Knoxville. Dave has his jerk list. Oscar De La Hoya going to be on the show as well. And next break, let's take some personal jackass-like stories. I will tell you one. I think Dave has heard, but I don't think Teresa's heard. It is the best. You've heard many of my stories about getting hit with bats and eating pies out of driveways, but I will tell the best in the jackass department. As a matter of fact, when Johnny Knoxville hears this, he is going to Well, he's going to realize that me and my friends were the jackass pioneers. We were doing this stuff long before they
didn't
were
even have cameras,
putting
right?
lobsters on their bags. We were doing things that were just as disgusting and far more daring. So I'll explain that story, and you call up 866-901-ADAM. Tell us your bold, drunken, jackass-esque stories, and we'll be right back after this.
Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Stick around, because in minutes, Adam's giving away two tickets to see Jim Belushi and the Sacred Hearts at the Luxor in Las Vegas on Saturday night.
Y'all still want me to come with you?
Plus hotel accommodations at the Luxor, dinner for two at the Luxor Steakhouse, and entrance into the Luxor Spa.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The phone number is 866-901-ADAM. You're going to need it. Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Give us your jackass story. Johnny Knoxville coming up. And a couple of few, I have a good jackass-esque story. But before we get into that, let me go a little different direction here, as I often like to do. I was speaking to, I think it was Bruska, maybe it was Dave Damashek. I can't remember who I was talking to. We're at the airport. We're leaving New York, and we're talking about Big Tad booking Howard Stern. And Big Tad, who's normally a day late and a dollar short, comes in with the jelly all over his face, huffing and puffing, and sits down and checks fantasy football scores via my computer. That's the normal Big Tad. But you wave $10,000 in front of Big Tad, and all of a sudden, he becomes Master Booker, Big Tad. Howard Stern on the phone, everybody. That's what motivates people. That's how it works. This is why communism could never work. This is also why the same person is capable of nothing or capable of everything. It's all about how much motivation they have. I don't understand why society doesn't embrace this and doesn't understand it. You could give Tad a stipend to live off of, and he would just sit in a one-bedroom apartment getting fat his whole life. Or you could say, get off your ass, here's some money, now do your job. And lo and behold, even the Big Tads of the world are capable of doing, accomplishing feats that seem to go well beyond their emotional means. We're all surprised, but it was the $10,000 that did the booking. It wasn't Big Tad. Now, where's Big Tad today? Well, he's not here.
Lose weight.
He didn't
well,
choose to come
weight,
in today.
Apparently, he has the runs.
He's not feeling well. Big Tad is not. Big Tad, over the last 9 months, has been late more than any other person, has missed more than any other person. There's no $10,000 waiting at the end of today. He'll not be coming in.
Get out of mom's house.
That's how the world works, everybody.
Yeah, basic economics. You incentivize people with money, and then they do things.
Right. You ask people, stop driving the gas guzzlers. That'd be nice. Get yourself into a Prius. No, not going to do it. Make gas $20 a gallon, boom, into the Prius. You tell people in the former Soviet Union, yeah, why don't you open the store at 8 a.m. and close at midnight and keep the shelves stocked? But you'll get paid if you show up drunk at noon the same. Well, what do you do? What's anyone do? And what would I do? I would do the same goddamn thing, and so would everyone within the sound of my voice. This is how it works. You want people? Oh, don't worry. We're the government. We'll give you a couple bucks for every kid you have. And if you do fine work, you'll lose your benefits for welfare. Well, what does that do? Again, this is how it works. And it works in triplicate for stupid people. When you're smart, usually you're self-motivator. Even then, there can be difficulties. When there's Big Tad, well, Big Tad with 10,000 bucks gets you Howard Stern. Big Tad with no 10,000 bucks, well, he doesn't even show up. That's how it works.
So he's sick is the alleged excuse. He's under the weather.
Yeah, but if you took every one of Tad's shown up late, hungover, missed a day sick, added them all up, and then compared them to everyone else's combined on the staff. That's everybody. That's interns on up to me. Everybody else combined. Days late, days hungover, falling asleep in meetings, or missing days. And you combined everyone else's. Do you think they'd add up to half of Big Tad's over the last 9 months?
No.
No.
I think
that's why he gets no sympathy for his diarrhea.
Should we try to call him and see if he might be off in Vegas spending that 10 large or something?
Well, look, he hasn't won it yet. The month is not over.
I guess that's true, too, yes. Well, he's foolish enough that he would try to spend it ahead of time, yes.
That's my feeling. And, you know, as everyone wants to then heap praise on those who do something, wow, Tad, that was quite a feat. It makes me angry. Why didn't you book Howard Stern the week before?
Yes.
Or before we started? Why doesn't anyone do any of this? No incentive. Now, here's why the joke is on Big Tad overall. Because they act as if the $10,000 is an incentive. That's not your incentive. Your incentive to do a better job at work is to move ahead in your job. There's a reason why Big Tad was a flunky when he was working with me and Jimmy over at K-Rock 12 years ago. And Big Tad is a flunky now. Because he needed the $10,000 to motivate. No 10 grand. He ain't showing up to work. So ultimately, and I would argue, I've probably made more than $10,000 over the last 12 years through self-motivation. See, that's the key, everybody. Pretend there's that $10,000 floating out there, except for it's not $10,000. It's $100,000. It's $500,000. It's whatever you would have made if Big Tad had that floating over his head 12 years ago when we were at K-Rock. It's whatever he would be making salary now if he moved up the, if he motivated himself and moved up the chain instead of just perpetually in a holding pattern over the airport.
And now that we know it's within his capabilities, it's almost like if you were his track coach and he broke a 4-minute mile, now he's got to do it every day.
Well, days he shows up, let's be fair. And yes, it is within everyone's capabilities. That's what I'm saying to you people. If Big Tad can rise to this occasion because there's 10,000 bucks on the line, then none of you have any excuses. I don't care if you're confined to a wheelchair. I don't care if you're walking around with a hockey helmet and a drool bucket on. You have no excuses. That's what the 10,000 proves. That's what motivation is. That's what incentive is. Now, what you people within the sound of my voice need to do is hold out that imaginary $10,000 that'll never come up in your life. It's just not gonna. Doesn't matter where you work. Unless you're doing morning radio and you have a host that's stupid enough to give away his own money, it's not going to show up in your life. That's how life works, by the way. There's never any of these incentives. If there were, it'd be easy. If someone said, I'll give you $50 for every day you attend class, well, then everyone would attend class. And I'll give you a couple $100 for every day you intern or every day you stay late and help out the boss or every day you work a long weekend or every day you get some training after work when you're tired and you want to watch Monday Night Football, but instead you go into the trade college and you get your training. There is never any incentive. It doesn't work that way. There is a payday. It's down the road. And guys like Big Tad can't see beyond the curvature of the horizon. They can only see the plate of chili in front of them.
He can't even see beyond the curvature to see his own feet.
But this is good information because they say the donkey is either motivated by the carrot or the stick. And what you're saying is that the carrot has to be in your mind that you're chasing.
That's right. Everybody, take my imaginary $10,000 and hang it out in front of you somewhere just out of reach and propel you to go forward. The more you know.
Wow. Now, are we going to hear your story?
Now I'm going to tell a story about my buddy firing water out of his ass.
Oh!
Yeah. That's range. Johnny Knoxville is coming in from Jackass, of course, and that has inspired me to tell my own Jackass-esque story. You too, 866-901-ADAM. Tell us your Jackass-esque story. Best story, by the way, is going to get them a little Luxor giveaway. Oh, night, boozing, eating, steakhouse, all that good stuff. Spa in Vegas, of course. We'll do that in 1 second. First, my story. Well, it was many years ago. I was in high school, I believe. Could have been a senior. I think I was going into my senior year. We didn't have a lot of wham. That's walking around money. We had to make our own fun back then, kids. None of that Nintendo. None of that Xbox or whatever you kids are playing around with. Now, we didn't have much, but we did have legs, and we did have arms, and we were able to jump over fences and crawl over stuff. I mean, the amount of places that I broke into, and I don't mean took a crowbar and broke into, I just mean hopped the fence and had a little fun in. I did that on a daily basis. Well, my buddies and I figured out that there was a club, a trendy tennis club up on top of Mulholland. and that we could go up there at night and have run of the joint. We would go up there, do a little skinny dip in, jump off the roof into the pool. The roof was 3 stories high. You'd have to get a good run because there's about 20 feet of cement you had to clear before you made it to the pool. But if you did, you could have fun. We'd climb up onto the roof, pile chairs and tables on top of each other and scale the thing. Then we'd see if we could get some girls up there, get them naked, get in the jacuzzi, and just run around. You know, summer fun. It was almost as if Dave went to school, went to college in Indiana. They have swimming holes and quarries filled with water and places like this. This was our cement pond. This was our urban quarry. So we would head up to this club at night. We'd scale the hill. We'd break in. We'd fire up the jacuzzi. And we'd run around like maniacs, beating the crap out of each other. Well, one of my buddies, and I won't mention his name because right. I don't want to...
What?
Huh? I don't want to humiliate him. Discovered when we were in the jacuzzi that if he went ahead and put his arse up against the jet, that he would absorb some of the water that was coming out of the jet and then could expel it at breakneck speed. And when I say breakneck...
At his will, too.
At his will.
He could suck
hold
it in?
For what, 20 minutes, half hour, something like that?
That would have been pushing it, but there was no reason to go that long. Couple seconds, couple minutes was long enough. And let me just tell you folks, Pete, you folks out there who've never received a jet of water in your ass, when it comes out, it does not come out at the speed it went in. It comes out about 10 times the speed it went in. And I would say lethal range about 23 to 25 feet.
Really?
Literally 20-something feet.
Does it come out clean?
Well, whatever's in there is coming with it. But by the time you get to your fourth or fifth, you could pretty much drink it. And half. It comes out of there. You would be amazed. You ever hop on the pot and you have maybe what Big Tad has right now? You got hold of a bad chimichurri the night before and you squeeze and it just sounds like an explosion. I mean, if that was filled with water, it would actually lift you off the toilet for a few minutes. Like when Yogi Bear goes to a national park and they put a picnic basket on a geyser and they just sit on top of it. What happened to that humor, by the way, where you would ride a geyser? No longer. No longer in today's cartoons. But the point is this water would come out of my buddy's ass at 100 miles an hour and could take paint off an apartment building.
Did he have, was he precise? I mean, could he point it at you?
It was about the accuracy Def Rat Guy has with a potato gun.
So it's pretty good then.
Yeah, he didn't knock any apples off anyone's heads, but he knew, you knew where the business end was and you stayed away and he could get you. If he wanted you. And so we decided, well, this is pretty funny stuff, doing it to folks, of course, unsuspecting folks that were invited up to hop in the jacuzzi.
So you're saying that the joke wore out at some point, Ray squirting you with his butt. You're like, all right, enough with this.
I didn't say Ray.
No one said Ray.
I said a buddy.
He had a lot of buddies.
Yes, that's right. About the fifth time somebody got hit in the head who was sitting in the jacuzzi while my friend was standing up.
Hold on. Isn't chlorine in your colon not good for the environment in there?
Well, we'll find out. So far, so good. Because the man is still alive. But the point is it came out with some velocity, I must say.
Did you get hit?
I've been hit. I've been hit by everything.
I'm sorry.
But I got to tell you, after being slapped in the ear with human fecal matter via a wet palm.
This was like a lemon sorbet.
I consider this a nice step up.
It was a palate cleanser.
Yes.
Disgusting.
It was a sprig of mint is basically what this was. The point is people were hit in the head, male and female alike.
Oh, yes. Spare the ladies?
The ass does not ask to see your ID.
Ray of sunshine.
Well, it came out on people's heads who were sitting in a jacuzzi. My buddy Tom, after getting tangled up with his chaise lounge and twisting his ankle very badly and claiming that he was actually hurt, giving the international distress sign when JOs fight. I'm serious.
Right.
You know, when you're beating the crap out of each other and you're 16 and one guy eventually yells, I'm serious. Everyone stopped, thought about it. And then Ray proceeded to unload on him while he was tangled up in a chair holding a swollen ankle. Yes. So we decided this might be fun to take on the road. Well, the jacuzzi's nice and everything, but we want to bring it to the people. So we thought, well, now how are we going to do this, considering nobody we know has a jacuzzi, which is a very sad sign. So we decided, well, perhaps the garden hose would work.
Sure.
In a pinch.
It's old school.
Yeah. So my mom lived in North Hollywood at the time, and the Jack in the Box of North Hollywood was just up the street there on Laurel Canyon, still there today. And we thought, well, perhaps if we filled up via mom's hose and drove it over to the Jack in the Box drive-thru, we could really have some fun.
How cool that you decided that, like, I mean, you know, Jackass, the Johnny Knoxville guys, they have cameras to shoot all this. This is more a grassroots version of taking it on the road.
For the love of the game.
An ass roots.
Right.
Version of, yes.
Right. We did it for the love of the sport.
He could hold the hose water in his ass long enough to drive to the Jack in the Box?
It is not a science, Teresa. I must tell you, it is like sort of making an improvised explosive in your basement. Half the guys blow their hands off just making it. It's not a hard science. Which, of course, then adds to the whole thing, because when you fill up that way, and you know that feeling of, oh man, I gotta go, and I gotta go now because you got a little Montezuma's revenge or something. That's the feeling. The feeling is I could go, maybe I'm going to forget about this and not go at all, or I could be going right now. It's going to be very difficult to control. I have experimented myself. I tried this once with the jacuzzi, and I can tell you firsthand that you have no idea. You're a ticking time bomb. You can basically hang on to it, but I wouldn't put any bets on it. So once my buddy filled up and piled into the two-door 78 Celica, someone else was driving. Oh, no, I was driving the Celica. But piled into the car, we had to hurry because we didn't want it to go off inside of the car. Would have been like one of those things where they throw the blue dye container in with the money that the bank robbers steal, right. Although it wouldn't have been blue. But it would have been the same effect from outside of the car. So we hustled over to the drive-thru, and of course there was somebody in front of us in line, and I was telling my buddy, hang on. It was as if I was driving a pregnant woman to the hospital. Almost there.
Lamaze.
Please, breathe. Now, he couldn't drive a stick, so of course I had to drive, and what was on the the business end of the Jack in the Box were the sliding window, and the poor 14-year-old with the pimples who was handing out the two tacos for 99 cents, he was on the driver's side.
And
Ray, of the vehicle.
And your friend is shotgun again, just to repeat.
He's riding shotgun.
With an ass full of hose water.
Yes, so when we do finally pull up, and I just stand there with my ass-eating grin on, and I recline the seat back, and my buddy now, and he's a large man, as I was back then, too, in a very small, compact Japanese car. He must now try to stuff his ass out of the window, past me, feet on the seat of the passenger seat, and try to wedge his ass out the very small 78 Celica two-door window while I lean back as far as I can. Now, the guy who was working the drive-thru was just looking at us thinking this, he thought he was being mooned, I assume. That would have been a good day for him. But he must have thought it was a very apathetic mooning because the car wasn't going anywhere. I wasn't going anywhere. The ass was just wedged out the window. There was no laughing at this point. It was like, what?
He was going to be awfully sorry in just a moment for yawning. Yes.
He looked at us, and he just kept looking, and he slowly moved his hand up and started to slide the window closed, I remember, which was a good impulse. And I guess he was assuming, well, I can't. There's no chance of me offending these guys by closing the window. I'm looking at the back of the guy's sack right now. I doubt he has delicate sensibilities. But we just sat there, and it felt like a good hour because the time, you know, the clock's really ticking in that situation. But just about the time the window shut, my buddy exploded. He went off big time. And the guy that was working there had that look. Remember in 70s sitcoms when somebody saw a UFO and they turned to their other farmer buddy in the field and they said, Herb, did you see that? And the guy looked at him and they looked back and they looked at each other and they said, no, No, I didn't see nothing. And they both walk back in the house. You know that if I tell people, they'll think I'm insane. No use spreading this one around. He gave a look like he had no idea what was going on. But more importantly, he wasn't going to share that with any of his coworkers because that would have been a very difficult explanation. So let me get this straight. The guy was mooning you? No, but then stuff started flying out of his ass. He defecated on... Nope, this was liquid that was... So he took a whiz on the... Nope! That would have been a very long story. Eventually, people run out of patience, decide you're nuts, and move forward. So,
did you get hit with friendly fire?
In that exchange?
Yes.
No.
Really?
I did. So, I did not.
Sniper-like.
I did not. I've always been wanting to find that guy. Perhaps he's in therapy as we speak. Perhaps he took his own life shortly thereafter. But it's always been curious to me. Whatever happened to that guy? And who is he told, if anybody?
A couple of questions. One, is this a skill that we all can perform, you think?
Well, my buddy Ray's on the phone. Ray?
Yeah, Dave, no way you can do it.
Damn it.
Why not? Why
what
not,
an
Ray?
Indictment.
Doesn't have the talent.
He doesn't have it?
Doesn't have it.
No. Let me explain that this spun out of control at a certain point, to the point where another buddy of mine, not Ray, filled himself up in a hose, came into my grandparents' home inside of the house. And let loose on me while I was watching television in the den.
But you did a good. You had a foot block, eh?
I did. No, I was. I didn't get hit as badly as I could have. The point is somebody walked into my grandparents' house and did a flying E, an enema inside the den where my grandfather watches Jeopardy.
What is total humiliation?
Oh, God.
Ray, is there any part of this story I've exaggerated or left out?
It was a UFO of a different kind, and no, it's all true.
Well, can you explain the physics of how you get the water in there?
No. It's easy. Come on, have you ever douched, Teresa?
No, but thank you for asking. You are so adorable.
I'm sure you have.
It is much easier than you would think.
Is it?
Ray gets insulted when he plays it.
The guy with the monkey voices. I'm getting him with the monkey sounds. I'm getting.
Will you get
him
with a flying enema for doing that?
That might happen.
You still do it?
I got to tell you, anybody with a jacuzzi, anyone who lives in an apartment building, or parents have a hot tub, are just one dip away from performing this jackass stunt. It is much easier than you would think.
Hundreds of times, too.
All right,
Teresa,
Ray.
Are you now upset that things didn't work out with Ray? You were going to go out on a date with Ray a couple of weekends ago, and then he backed out at the 11th hour.
I think I dodged a bullet.
And some water. Some brown water.
Exactly.
Inside of my grandparents' house.
Wow.
Inside. I was lying on the floor. On a carpeted floor watching television in the den when my other buddy came up and was like, what the? He's dropping his pants. My foot went flying off me. The guy unloaded in the house.
Where were your grandparents?
They were out of town.
Good.
By the way, you know, this far exceeds the no parties. No one even says no enemas inside of the house.
Yes.
That is not even on your list of possibilities.
Doesn't say it anywhere in the rule books. I guess it's all right.
Yes, you said I couldn't get a 12-pack and hang out with my buddies. Well, we didn't do that. All right, let's see. Let's hear your jackass stories. Josh?
Yes.
Says here, you blew up a car with fireworks in Tijuana.
Yes.
Too bad my buddy Ray wasn't riding shotgun. He could have put out that fire. So tell us the story.
Yeah, I was in the military. I just turned 19, and we went down to Mexico for fireworks for the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went down the main street there, and we were trying to find the best ones we could, and all the fact that they're saying is big bang, very good.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't go less than $60, so it had to have been good.
Right.
So we bought it. Actually, we bought two of them, and we walked around the corner, and there was a few parked cars there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my buddy decided to drop it in the top of a newer Cougar, like a 99 2000 Cougar,
and
light it off. So he lights it off, drops it into the car. We went to the edge of the corner, not that far away,
and just blew the car to pieces. It turns out that it was a full stick of dynamite.
Wow, and you couldn't ascertain that when the guy sold it to you by the side of the road?
No, I was actually in a jewelry shop.
Beauty of Mexico. The lawless part doesn't work for you when you're being, you know, held up or beaten by hoodlums, but it is nice when you're experimenting with fireworks. Yes.
It is, and it makes it that much better when you decide to blow up vehicles down in Mexico.
All right, so that's a good story. Solid B. Let's see if we can do better to give away that trip to Vegas.
From BM to just B.
Tim?
Yeah?
Give us your story.
I was in college, and I went to college a little younger than normal, and I was trying to, you know, fit in with the crowd, so I went with a whole bunch of guys, and we party, and I wasn't drinking, though. And I thought it was smart to light a fart. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I sprayed body spray on me because I thought I was going to hook up with a chick there, and it lit everything up. I mean, it went from down there all the way up, my nether region, my chest, everything, man.
I don't know. I'm going bogus on this one.
Oh, no, it's real.
I have lit many a fart. I have seen many a fart lit and have lit a cigarette off of a lit fart.
What?
Yes. No. Yes.
That's possible?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It is more than possible to light a cigarette
it
off
is more than possible.
The flame
it's
from a fart.
It's also disgusting.
Hold on. Now, you light the fart, and then where does the fire...
Well, I had that body spray on me. I just sprayed on right before the party. Fortunately, I sprayed it at every place, and the flammable liquid just went all... I went to the hospital and everything. And
no, you did not go to the hospital.
It burnt the hell out of me.
No.
What kind of spray?
It was the body spray. I don't know what brand it was.
Genite?
Like, no.
Yeah. I'm not buying it. I have, like I said, lit many a fart, been in the company of men that have lit many farts. This has never happened. Oh, it makes a huge flame, and it will crawl up, and I won't do it in other... I'll only do it in 501s, and I got to wear denim. I'm not going to be wearing cotton pants and do it that way.
It's through the pants.
Yeah, you got to go through the pants.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're flirting with disaster. But for those of you who think this is an urban myth, and I don't
farting
know if there's...
with disaster.
I don't know if there's any who think it is in this day and age. Farts will go up like Roman candles. And yes, you could light a cigar off of the flame of a fart. Absolutely. I don't believe Tim, though. I don't think he sprayed some axe on his crotch. And then, by the way, that stuff just evaporates fast because it's all alcohol-based. It's not going to go up. And if this is the way it worked, people be setting themselves on fire all the time. Every other birthday party, every time someone lit a cigarette and had this deodorant sprayed all over them, they'd be catching on fire all the time. He didn't go to the hospital for it.
I'll tell you what, I have never met a woman that's ever lit her own fart on fire. So this really separates the genders.
All
just
right.
Never dawns on us.
Well, T, the day is young, as I like to say. Tim?
Yeah.
Bogus. Yes, you know you're bogus. Jeremiah?
Yes, sir.
Tell us your story.
Well, freshman year in high school, I'm from the Valley, mm-hmm. Hyder by Fresno, a little small town. Nothing really but cows and crap around us. So we're at my friend's grandmother's house. And there's a couple bottles of milk and magnesium.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple beers were involved. We're trying to figure out pretty much what it does. So there's about four of us hanging out. And my buddy says, well, it's kind of like, you know, kind of like X-Lax. It'll make you take a crap.
Mm-hmm.
So my buddy Joe tries to say that, let's see who can last the longest without taking a crap.
Mm.
Now, thinking in hindsight, I mean, horrible idea, but... Mm. He's a freshman with a couple of Coors Light in us.
No, this was well within my range when I was in high school.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't the first to go. I was the third. I didn't win the contest. But needless to say, we had some fun cleaning up my friend's grandmother's couch that night. And,
well, wait a minute. Well, you couldn't use the bathroom? The whole idea was you were confined to the sofa?
No, we had to see who would leave the sofa first.
Ah, I see.
My buddy left, another buddy left, and I didn't quite make it.
Yeah, we call this dark meat chicken. It's
yeah,
it's a game it's, of chicken, but it's not quite the same as parking the car on the railroad track.
So you're staying on the couch as long as you can.
Right.
Staying on the couch as long as we can. The guy who won had a humongous mess to clean up. I just had to clean up one cushion and the side of the armrest.
Mm-hmm.
Funny thing is, about 2 years ago, you know, 6-7 years out of high school, went to the same house, and lo and behold, the same couch is still there.
Oh yeah. Well, grandparents.
We can never look at each other the same. It's kind of that. I don't know. It was an emotional evening. We won the football game the next day, so I guess maybe it was good luck cleaning out our system. But yeah.
All right, Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of those guys who, you ever talk to these people where they're one more syllable away from you walking away from their story, but they catch you on that one syllable and bring you back, and then they wax on and on and on. Just about the time you're going to nod off, boom, they get you with that syllable again. They bring you back. Worst.
That's why I grab people with two hands so they can't even try to get away.
I was hoping his story was going to be as explosive as his diarrhea, but it was not.
Well, it's good to know that other people are doing things in their grandparents' house, though, that involve their arse. That's all I have to say. All right, we're going to take a break, but we'll take more of your jackass-esque stories. We have these Luxor tickets to give away, spa, steakhouse, all that good stuff, Vegas. Also, this is obviously inspired by Johnny Knoxville, who'll be swinging by the studio soon enough. Oscar De La Hoya going to be on the show as well. We'll be right back after this.
Here's what's up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, suckers? Time to drop it like it's hot. Hell of a show for you today from Jackass, Johnny Knoxville, boxer Oscar De La Hoya, also Mr. Brightside and Dave's Jerk List. Holy crap! This sounds like an actual morning show! August, quit updating your resume! Fruska, keep updating yours! Late!
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Jack just emailed Bruska no more S stories. They're wanting more crap stories. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it wouldn't fit in with the nature of the programming over here. Because, you know, we have the financial news starting at 10 o'clock, and then Lycus comes on, and, you know, he just talks about world affairs for 4 hours.
And the new Philharmonic and what they're doing.
That's right.
It's a little blue, Ace Man, a little blue.
Little blue?
Don't work blue.
Brown.
I think it's more brown than it's blue. Patrick?
Yes.
You want to win yourself a nice stay at the Luxor Hotel. Give us a good jackass story.
All right. I've actually got tons of them, but this one takes place when I was in the Army stationed in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
Me and the guys that lived in the barracks, we lived on the second story, and in the wintertime, it just snowed just ungodly amounts, so there'd be a nice pillowy berm of snow along the side of the building. So we got the great idea one day to go ahead and break out a hat, and everybody, there was like eight of us, throw anywhere between 5, 10, sometimes 20 bucks. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Into the hat, and then proceed to take turns jumping out of the second story window into the snow. And the kicker was every time you jumped out and had to run back upstairs, you had to take another article of clothing off. And you couldn't start off with like a sweater, a jacket, two pairs of pants. It was just basic clothing. Socks, shoes, underwear, pants, and a t-shirt. That's all you could wear. And then we'd jump out, and mind you, anywhere between 20 to maybe even 5 degrees, depending on the time of the year it was, and we're jumping out progressively
into the snow drift. And what did you eventually get down to?
Eventually, you always come down to at least two people jumping out butt naked with the exception of shoes on, because it was really harsh on your feet to try to climb out of the snow barefoot and then run back upstairs. And then eventually it'd be two people and nobody'd want to quit. And so we just jump out over and over and over again.
This
butt
is
naked.
This is the difference, Teresa, you brought it up earlier. This is the difference between men and women.
Please, because I'm confused.
Men will make mischief for themselves if they have enough time, no TV, no video games, and nothing to do. This is what happens. They will start lighting farts. They will start jumping out of windows. They will start burning each other. You know, like I said, when a woman passes out because she drank too much, her friends call the paramedics. And when a guy passes out, the friends go for the duct tape and the magic marker.
Sharpie, yeah.
Yes. If you passed out in front of Kimmel, you would wake up the next day with a 26-inch penis drawn on your back. That's how it works. Now, is there a woman alive that has passed out because she's poisoned herself with alcohol who woke up the next day with a huge penis drawn on her back? I don't think so.
The worst I ever heard, actually, was I was at a college tailgate once, and a girl went into the porta-potty, and her friends thought it would be funny. They all got together, and they shoved it and dumped it over these girls, and then I'm not allowed to talk about it, but what Jack doesn't want us to talk about went into her, and she got sick and had to go to the ER.
Good stuff.
But I retract that story.
Tom... Tom, they must have been lesbians. Tom, you burned a cabin down?
Well, that's one of many things, but we took a ski trip up to Big Bear. I had a cabin up there. Some girls actually rented it. And the first night, Friday night, was pretty tame. You know, just the normal things, throwing light bulbs at each other out of the lamps and drawing a target down in the billiards room. This was a really big cabin. And using all the balls through the drywall, just what points you could get, which were kind of unretrievable until... somebody kicked that piece of drywall down. But the next night was the big party, and we had a big giant fireplace at this place, and these geniuses, there was like a cord of wood outside, so these geniuses that I was with decided they would get about 50 pieces of firewood there. Couldn't start it, so they put some gasoline on it that they found in the basement of this place, and then when the fire was really raging, some other genius got the idea of throwing a can of Raid in it.
Nice.
Well, it went over really well, and there was lots of other cleaning products and things like that, and eventually it caught drapes on fire because the can shot out and it was on fire.
Yeah.
As people are running out, knocking the windows out and trying to get through the sliding glass door, which broke, going to the deck of this place, which is kind of rotten. Railing starts breaking, people start falling off, and finally somebody, I don't know whether they kicked the support out from underneath this deck or what, but a big chunk of the deck landed kind of down the hill a little ways. You know, needless to say, the girls that invited us, which were kind of real preppy girls, weren't real happy with the state of the cabin.
Yeah,
we all slept in our cars.
Guys, especially young guys, will trash places, especially when they're at a party. I don't know what it is. And again, that's another gene that guys possess that women don't have. We have the vandalism gene. There's no woman that's ever went into a public bathroom at a park and busted up the sink or the toilet with a crowbar.
No, I would take the cleaning products and then maybe clean the cabin before I left it instead of setting it on fire with them.
Right, whereas my buddies would urinate into a shampoo bottle, put the top back on, and put it nicely back into the shower stall.
That's a true one,
yes.
Too? I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yes.
Disgusted,
yes.
Nonetheless.
Chris?
Yes?
What's going on?
Well, a roommate of mine and I were driving out to Palmdale, little two-lane highway out through the middle of the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a really slow RV towing a boat right in front of us. It was going maybe about 30. So we decided to try and pass them by. The road was, like, really hilly.
Mm-hmm.
And a pickup truck popped out of the dip right in front of us. And my roommate decided to just go for it, play chicken with the truck and see if either we made it back to our lane or if he moved out of the way first.
Mm-hmm.
Neither one of those happened.
Wow.
We ended up swerving off the road, and as the truck passed us by and we tried to swerve back on, we flipped three or four times down the highway. We were going about 70, landed on the opposite side of the highway, right side up, one wheel was completely gone, and all four of us were pretty much completely uninjured.
Yeah, that's the way it seems with, you know, the more horrific the accident, sometimes the less the injuries. And then there's Dale Earnhardt. It doesn't look like much, and the guy's been in the ground for 5 years. So you landed back on your feet. No one was hurt. You replaced the tire. Were you able to drive after that?
Actually, no. The truck was totaled. It was a 93 Explorer, and it was just completely wrecked.
All right. Well, not bad, but not really jackass material, just basic high... You know, hijinks on the highway. Let's take one more, and then we'll award this out. Mike?
Yeah.
You made a bomb at a party?
Yeah, well, do you know what a lighter bomb is?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. We made a lighter bomb, lit it, put it against the house outside of the front door. And it went off, and it made a big flash, like you just took a picture on the camera. And it's pretty
well,
loud.
Explain how you make a lighter bomb, because actually I was thinking about one of those 2-liter soda bottle bombs, which is a great bomb. It doesn't involve fire, but it's awesome. Yes, go ahead, Mike.
You take a Bic lighter, and you pop the top off so there's just plastic left.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn it upside down, and you light the top part,
and it'll make a little flame. And about 10 minutes later, the flame will get a little bigger, and then it'll explode.
Uh-huh. So it'll be like a wick fuse, and then it'll blow up. So the cop and the cops showed up.
Cops showed up. Everybody freaked out. They thought it was a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
And the cops were taking names, and we ran across the street, and we're hiding behind the bushes.
And hold on a second. Lighter bomb. Not bad, but...
I think we could do better.
It's a rapscallion, but let's it's not
one,
jackass.
Let's do one more. Tom?
Hey.
You blew up a rival high school's goalpost?
You bet I did.
This could be good. How did you do this?
Well, I went to a high school in the San Francisco Bay Area. I won't say where to not incriminate myself, but we had our rival school. We always did pranks against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and my buddies decided that we should, in a drunken stupor, blow up the other high school's goalpost the night before the homecoming game.
Now, how did you do that?
Well, I have a friend who was frequenting to Tijuana, and he actually got some dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
And we put two holes in the ground with our little trusty spade, put two sticks of dynamite there, put the fuses, you know, so they were together.
Mm-hmm.
And left ourselves a cigarette for our five-minute fuse, lit the cigarette, and took off, you know, up the hill. I lived in a, you know, real hilly area, so we were able to get a real
good... Was it the single goal post style, the one that just had the one post going down to the ground?
One post down and then...
Easier to blow up, right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So pretty much about 6 minutes later, it's just an unbelievable boom sound and dust and dirt going everywhere, and it's like basically timber on the goalpost.
The goalpost came down.
Straight down onto the end zone. It was beautiful. Left a huge crater.
Hmm.
It was pretty awesome.
All right, I like that one, Tom. I think it's a good note to go out on. And you blew up a rival's goalpost, and it did come down. That's the important part. I'm going to go ahead and award this prize to you.
I like that. At least he had some reason for doing it.
Yeah, going to the Luxor, by the way. One night at the Luxor, dinner for two, the steakhouse. You get to see Jim Belushi over there performing with the Sacred Hearts. And you also get entrance into the Luxor Spa as well. So if you promise not to blow it up, you can capitalize on that. All right, we need to take a break. Johnny Knoxville on the way. Also, Oscar De La Hoya coming up. But first, next, a little something we like to call the Jerk Report.
Oh.
Be careful. I mean the Jerk List, right?
Uh-oh.
Well, I said we like to call it the Jerk Report. Kimmel likes to call it the Jerk List. We'll be right back with both those after this.
The Jerk List.
The eye sees all. There's too many jerks.
That's what I love about
Jerk.
The Jerk List.
A severe penalty for being a jerk.
Yes.
The Jerk List.
Jerks! Jerks!
What an outrage.
Shame!
You're a jerk. Oh.
The Jerk List.
There's too many jerks. Jerk, jerk, jerk! Shame! Yes. Yes.
The Jerk List.
Judge rules. Jerk!
Well, the Jerk List is on the way. Before that, let me mention Johnny Knoxville, also on the way to the studio. And I would like to add someone or something to Dave's Jerk List before we get to Dave's actual Jerk List. When we were leaving New York yesterday, passing through JFK Airport and going into the new, brand spanking new American Airlines terminal at JFK. And this thing looks like somebody spent $1 billion on it. Marble everywhere, clean. And again, still had that new airport smell. Must have, they've been working on it for 10 years or something, but it just opened. Decided to go in and relieve myself before I get onto the airplane. Anyone who's listening, by the way, and I know, Jack, you told us to stop talking about poo. I'm going to talk about pee for 20 minutes. I hope that's okay.
He just said poo. He didn't say poo.
He said number two. He did not say number one. Here's the deal. Whether it's going into work or going onto the airplane, please do your offloading either at home or on terra firma. Why wait until you get into the airplane with the other 300 held captive to your dookie? Do it on the ground. That's what I do. I decide to go in, shake a little dew off the lily before I got onto the plane. Well, I was taking a whiz in the brand spanking new multi-million dollar bathroom over there at JFK, using the urinal And then a guy sidled up next to me, and he started doing his thing. And then I noticed as I was looking at his Pepe, and he was staring at my Pepe, and we're both being sprayed by the mist from each other's Pepe, that there was no division between the two urinals. Yes, that three-quarter piece of press board that's covered with vinyl that averages 16 inches by 32 inches long that could be mounted onto the wall with a bracket that probably cost $14.50 was not put in there. And I thought to myself, certainly the technology is in place to put the division between the two urinals, because I just went on one of those moving sidewalks for the last 20 minutes and I'm looking at a hologram of myself eating at a Cinnabon. So believe me, the technology is there, and half the bathrooms have it. At least three quarters of the bathrooms seem to have it since 1965. Let's have some rules in place. You know how they have a lot of building rules? If you're going to build this, you need that. If there's a million and one building rules, how about the code that puts the goddamn division between the two urinals so we don't have to check out each other's junk? And yes, I know we don't have to do it, but you have two choices. You can look down at your own junk, you can stare ahead at a blank piece of tile, or you can check out the junk of your neighbor. And then keep whatever spray, because this guy was going off like someone ran over a fire hydrant. He'd apparently been drinking the night before. Keep whatever mist away from my side of the urinal just by putting a division. Perhaps just that $20 you spend could get us our dignity. Why not do that? Why not mandate it? And anyone who's listening to me is planning on building a public bathroom, please go ahead and put the division between the two urinals. And two urinals only need one division. That's all. And one last tip. If you are going to pull up to take a whiz next to me or anyone else, go ahead and pick one down the row just a little bit. No reason to pull up right up against me. Yes?
You mean somebody has the option of going one down and go right next to you?
No. Actually, to be fair to this weary traveler, there were three. I chose the middle one, and then he pulled up. But I still would sit on it. I would circle, much like an airport waiting for a terminal to open up. I would just circle the airport for a couple beats till I was done and then pull in. But in this year, 2006, in New York City of all cities and an airport of all places and a place that's 2 months old, why not put a division between the toilets?
JFK, jerks.
Yes, you enjoy the same privileges and privacy when it comes to going to the bathroom as inmates do, as felons do.
Well, listen, I can understand. Just some random guy sees the Man Show guy taking a pee. He wants to take a look at your wang and be able to tell stories about it. Listen, right. Let me tell you what I know about that guy.
Yeah.
Not Jimmy Kimmel, the other guy.
You're right. I should have had him killed. All right.
$4,000 and a drifter.
Now, I don't want to thank you for that callback, T. I don't want to steal any of Dave's thunder.
No, like you say, we're back from New York. And as I found out that they say in New York, you know, a little warning to all you jerks out there. You think you can outrun me. As they say in NYC, no way.
They say no way.
I was waiting for the crickets, Brian.
I hadn't heard no way.
I thought it was you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah, I didn't know it was no way.
Forget it.
Oh, they say forget it, no way.
Forget it.
Top of the heap.
You, buster.
This is why it's important to experience other cultures.
Right.
All right, listen. Long flight back. It got back last night. Had to wake up early, of course. Time zones are a jerk. Exhausting. Jesus.
Great.
Adam, by the way, I have to mention, now you just told your enjoyable pee story. Mm-hmm. That's stealing my thunder just before I start the jerk list. You are a jerk.
Wow.
Now that I just kissed your ass, Dave Damashek's a jerk. All right. Now we got that cleared up. Mm-hmm. We got all that noise out of the way. Oh, one more thing about New York City that I was reminded of as we dined on delicious pizza and calzones, as everybody does in New York. Pizza out here on the West Coast. I hear all sorts of excuses about the dough isn't good because the water, when you're west of the Colorado River, makes the dough a bad quality, not so tasty. I'm tired of the excuses. You talk about what year we're in, 2006. Can't we clear this up already? The entire West Coast can't have decent pizza?
It saddens me and it breaks my heart, David.
West Coast pizza is a jerk. All right, before I get too heated up, let's go to some of the calls on the jerk hotline. Many good ones this week. Here's the first one. You were talking last week, Adam, about your old pal, Doc Drew. Wasn't allowed to come on the show. Was it the station that wouldn't let him? So, then you suggested that it might be his lovely spouse.
All I can tell you is there was a pee and a whip involved with it.
All right, let's take a listen to this call.
Dr. Drew and his wife, they're both bitches. How dare they? How dare she forbid him from going on to the Adam Carolla show? Jerks.
Good.
Interesting. All right. Now, this one I was intrigued by.
I'm just calling because I have a really bad cold. Yeah. So I'm just going to call and nominate the cold. You're a jerk.
I like that.
Nominated his own cold.
Yes.
Wow.
Might have been Tad for all we know. Fat Tad, who's out sick today.
Yes.
And this one also interesting. A new turn.
I'd like to do something different and nominate Dave Damashek for the Get Out of Jerk free card for using me twice on the 13th for my jerk nominees, using my clips twice. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, but just exactly who the hell do you think you are, mister? Those things are precious to get out of jerk free cards. They're not for you to be doling out. I'll take care of them. You, sir, are a jerk. Now, here's the good news. It's time to give out the get out of jerk free card.
All right.
And as it turns out, the get out of jerk free card this week goes to me. So it works out anyway. You know why? Well, there are many reasons. But in particular, 21 of my last 23 NFL picks against the spread. In the history of man, has this ever been done? This is some feat.
I know it sounds like next to nothing, ladies, but it is quite an achievement.
21 out of the last 23.
Yes.
Meanwhile, for you, Dave.
I am, well, I think I'm probably tied with my dog if my dog Molly's not actually beating me in football picks at
it
this particular time.
It is possible she could be ahead of you.
Yes, so it's highly possible. And my wife is rooting for Molly.
What?
How's Molly doing? Is Molly beating you? I keep saying to her, what kind of vested interest in do you have in eroding my self-esteem, sweetie? Because look around. The day the Ace Man looks in the mirror and sees a failure, it's the day it all goes away. It all goes away.
Well, listen, I'm beating Molly.
I told my wife, I said, say goodbye to my Ferrari. Say goodbye to my Aston Martin. Say goodbye to my other. And then I realized it was all my stuff. I was there. So then I told her to say goodbye to her comb.
Corolla, say goodbye to your dignity, because I am destroying you. But don't feel too bad, because I'm also destroying the Swami and Hank Goldberg and Jimmy the Greek and everyone else who ever tries to do this for a living. All right. Good for you, Dave. Next, back to the jerks.
For you, Dave.
I couldn't figure out who was talking to you for a second there.
I didn't know either.
I think, please. Well, Dave has a new plan. Dave's going to start referring to himself in the third person. Dave thinks that'll go beautifully.
Hey, I'll tell you, it will pay dividends when you get caught cheating. I don't think Dave would do. Yes. I don't think Dave would do something like that with a hooker, but I'll talk to him.
When Dave makes a vow, Dave keeps it.
That's right.
All right. Producer Angie. Last week, it was Brian, the sound guy's birthday, so she made cookies for him, brownies and cookies. Hey, delicious. That was great. I enjoyed them. And then I realized, you know what? I had a birthday about 3 months ago. I don't remember seeing any cookies and brownies made by the hands of Angie, the producer. I don't know if you were drunk that day. I'm assuming you were, but either way, rules are rules. You are a jerk. All right, let's get to the creep of the week.
Please. Let's hear that song.
Creep, creep, creep of the week, of the week. He or she is the creep of the week. A little more baritone today because, you know, I got the tired voice.
Whatever it is, it's working.
Oh, thanks, you. Terrell Owens. T.O. tried to kill himself last night.
Tried to take, it took like 40 Vicodin or something like this. He tried to kill it. How dare you try to take your own life? I enjoy making fun of you way too much. Mm. If you leave the picture, then what?
That's right.
Barry Bonds is already in the Creep Hall of Fame along with Brusca.
This is an edgy jerk list.
Your vitriolic dart will have no bullseye.
Yes, I don't care for that. Who do you think you are, sir? You got to stay on this planet. Keep on playing. Keep on saying ridiculous things and committing ridiculous deeds so that we can all enjoy you as a regular contributor to the jerk list. Crepe!
What happened?
We're good, right, Brian?
Yeah, we're great.
Brian. Thank Brian, you. No.
Early entry.
Rules are rules. Brian, turn the blaster on yourself. The book's not closed.
When Dave said blaster, he meant my friend Ray. Didn't mean a sound effect. This is much harsher than a sound effect. All right. Well, speaking of T.O., we're going to get a little update on his condition. And my buddy, Dr. Bruce, who is an addiction medicine specialist and probably knows more about prescription painkillers and things like that than anyone I know, even Dr. Drew, believe it or not, is going to be phoning in. So we will get an expert on the line and give you an update on the T.O. situation. Also, Johnny Knoxville coming in. Oscar De La Hoya still ahead on the Adam Carolla Show. Just like
an angel. Shorter breaks, longer rants. More Adam after this. The Adam Carolla Show. Welcome back to Ozfest on the Adam Carolla Show. We got all the greatest hits of Ozzy Osbourne sung by Nicaraguan movie reviewer Oswaldo Castillo. Now, here's Iron Man.
I am Iron Man. Has he lost his mind? Can he see and he seem blind? Can and walk and go? All is move, he is foul. Nobody want him. Who's started in the world?
I gotta say this, Ozzy, not much of a front man, but his band rocks pretty hard. I don't know how we did those. I assume we just put a band together and just laid them down live. Again, not a charismatic front man, but the band sounded tight. Yes. I came home 2 days ago. Ozzy was at my home working with his son and his wife as well. Didn't I talk to him? That's the sound Ozzy makes when he wants to call his wife from inside my house. He's really like an orca. He clicks. And then they both get together in my living room, and they circle around, and they take the school of mackerel, and they move them to the center, and then the feeding frenzy begins.
He has to make that sound, because even his wife doesn't understand when he speaks.
All right,
well, listen, let me just say quickly, we're going to talk to Dr. Bruce, yes?
Mm-hmm. The addiction medicine specialist.
I've had anal sex, and I passed out
Please,
a couple
Bruce,
times.
Please, Bruce, hold on.
In case you don't know, T.O., Terrell Owens, tried to kill himself last night. The details are still sketchy, apparently, but I guess last night his publicist called the doctor, called the hospital, said, oh, we have a suicide attempt. It looks like he took 35 or 40 painkillers because he had surgery on his finger.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy story.
Well, let's talk to Bruce, who's well-versed in this topic. Bruce?
Yo.
Good to speak to you, Dr. Bruce.
How you doing?
Good. So let's talk about T.O. for a second. First off, what pain medication was he taking? Do you know?
No, probably Vicodin. That's pretty universally given as a pain medication after a surgery or trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, Vicodin is a synthetic opiate, so Tylenol number 3, which has codeine, which is metabolized to morphine, is commonly given, or Vicodin.
Now, it strikes me that some people have a few Vicodin or a few painkillers, get a little loopy, and then do things they wouldn't normally do. Do you think this is what happened with T.O.?
No. You know, with depression and we're assuming, let's just say, alleged suicide attempt, and somebody like this, you know, this guy's under tremendous pressure. If you look at his history of injuries, what struck me was he really has had significant crises in his career the last, 4 years.
Yeah.
And he's in the pressure cooker right now. So there are a number of things that you could attribute this to. But people that have a significant life crisis or stressor that's recurrent puts them at risk for depression, and I think this sounds more like a cry for help. There are suicide attempts that are high lethality attempts. You put a gun in your mouth, that's high lethality. Mm-hmm. You take an overdose of pills frequently, that's a cry for help, and that's mm-hmm. what we see a lot in the emergency department. For instance, people that, whether it's major depression or a stress, what we call adjustment disorder with depressed mood or depression because of a death in the family, breakup mm-hmm. of a relationship. And then people with personality disorders, which, from your Loveline experience, you're familiar with people that have a history of unstable relationships, manipulativeness, right. stuff like that, entitlement issues, personality disorders, put them at risk for acting out in ways like this to get attention or get help.
Let me chime in, Bruce. So there are people who truly want to kill themselves, and those people throw themselves off a 50-story building.
Right.
I mean, they make sure they get it done. And then there are those, and that's one way of getting off the merry-go-round of life, which is there's too much pressure. I got, bills. I got phones ringing. I got bosses. I got, in T.O.'s case, coaches, the media, teammates, whatever. Seems like he wants to get off of the merry-go-round, but not get off permanently, like when you jump off a building. He wants to step off. That's the cry for help, and then eventually get back on when it slows down. Is that sort of a metaphor that works?
Yeah. Now, just let me propose this. Again, having done a lot of emergency medicine, you'll see people that, especially with opiates, some people get opiates, and he did have an episode with pain medication, I think it was a year ago, where he had an adverse reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may have tried a different opiate, and there's multiple receptors in your brain for opiates, and one of them causes you to hallucinate and have some very bizarre reactions. And then there are things that you use for nausea and vomiting, Phenergan, and some people have a very strange reaction to those. So
What I was saying initially. Could he have had a strange reaction to it and sort of freaked out, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know how the media generates.
Right.
It's an unreliable amplifier of anything. So,
well, that's what we're doing now. But
let's just wildly and recklessly conjecture why he would want to do this. In 2 weeks, not this Sunday, but next, he has to go play the Philadelphia Eagles, the Cowboys play the Eagles, his old team, the city in which he's hated, of course.
Well, I would definitely say that may be
a
factor.
Just trying to get out of having to go to that game.
Well, can I ask Dr. Bruce a question about the effect of the narcotic? If he was taking some painkillers, is there a chance that that might enhance his pre-existing depression?
Oh, good question. Absolutely. When you're taking a mood-altering substance, it can have a variety of effects on your baseline mental status. So certainly if he was on the edge, and certainly this guy, as Dave said, is in a pressure cooker, that could have just sort of decreased his inhibition, and he might have taken the rest of the bottle. But certainly this, and men are more likely to use a highly lethal form of suicide and have it work. Women are much more likely to have the cry for help type of suicide attempt. But it doesn't mean that this isn't a cry for help. I'd say this guy is certainly, and as Dave says, facing the Philadelphia Eagles with his injuries and with the media intensity.
Well, I would kill myself on the field with a shotgun.
Yeah,
really?
That would be the way to do it, 50-yard line,
yeah.
Right during the coin toss.
No one will accuse you of making a cry for help if you do that.
No, they would accuse me of making a statement. Hey, Dr. Bruce.
Yo.
How does one kill oneself with painkillers? How many would an average person have to take? Because I know you can build up a tolerance over the years. There are people that are strung out on these things that take 100 a day and then go to work.
Right. Well, there are a couple of mechanisms. First of all, the most commonly prescribed painkillers contain Tylenol, and the 6,000 milligrams or 12,500 milligram Tylenol, that's a liver lethal dose. So you don't have to take that many. But usually, if you're found, the medical system's very alert to that, and you can give antidotes for that. But it doesn't take that much if it contains Tylenol. Now, if you're talking about an opiate, Darvon, Tylenol number 3, Vicodin, then those cause respiratory depression. And the big if there is most of these people are under the influence. The common person is trying to attempt suicide, has been drinking, so you have the alcohol effect, and you have the effect, the respiratory depression.
But as suicide attempts go, or means of suicide, not the most effective way to get it done.
No, you need, generally you need at least the entire, usually doctors will give you 30 pills. Now listen, I would, if you take 30 Tylenol number 3 or Vicodin, you have a very good chance of offing yourself.
So the Tylenol,
the more you know. Thank you.
I had no idea that Tylenol was liver lethal.
Oh yeah,
Tylenol's a bad actor.
It's why you don't eat the Tylenol when you've been boozing.
I didn't know.
Another important message is if you're using things like Valium, the benzodiazepines, those are very safe when taken by themselves. But just one drink of alcohol and
makes it taste so much better, though.
Right, and it'll last longer. And people with addiction problems, they will take those before they drink so they don't appear to be drinking as much. There are a lot of little tricks they use. But once you've had a little bit of alcohol in your system, then benzodiazepines like Valium, Xanax become lethal at low doses. So
there you go. The more you know.
Thank you. I got my public health message.
Listen, Dr. Bruce, we got to wrap it up because Johnny Knoxville's here.
Yeah,
we got
much bigger fish to fry.
Well, hold on a second.
He wants to say something responsible probably about how people shouldn't kill themselves.
Hurry. Yeah.
People,
it's a great show.
People shouldn't put high pressure fluids in their rectal cavity.
Oh, I had anal sex and I passed out a couple of times.
I understand.
Not those things either. Anyway, so I was just concerned. My 6-year-old was asking me why Uncle Ray was blasting water out of his butt.
Well, a valid question.
Something kids have a hard time understanding.
Yeah, Uncle Ray. Okay. Uncle
Monty. All right, well, let me tell you something. A 16-year-old Adam was asking that same question while he was running from the blast. So your kid has it good. And last but not least, what happened to that keg of roofies I ordered from you? What, it seems like months have gone by now, Bruce. Let's get going with that, would you?
Yeah. I'll talk you off the air.
Thank you. Dr. Bruce, everybody. Johnny Knoxville has showed up. Let me say this quickly about suicide before we take our break. As I've said before, when they interview people, and only a handful of people have survived trying to kill themselves jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, when they interview the 3 or 4 people that have survived over the thousands of people that have perished killing themselves jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge, they always say the first thing they thought when they jumped is, I shouldn't have done it. Why'd I do it? Now, whether that was an adrenaline rush or some sort of chemical reaction, I don't know, but that is a very sad thought. The fact that you're 2 feet away from the railing, 500 feet above the water, and you're thinking, geez, I wish I was back on the sidewalk.
Yes, and I know we have to go, but I'll just say this, just to be responsible. At the suicide hotline, they always tell you, you didn't always feel this way, and you won't always feel this way.
How do you know?
The more you know. We'll take
Speed dialing.
We'll take a quick break. Johnny Knoxville next.
And camouflage your ambush on us.
So what does that mean?
That they surprise you.
I don't know if I'm going to be that surprised.
You guys got to catch these guys, man. They tried to kill J-Lo and Ice Cube.
Johnny Knoxville on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Johnny.
Hey, man, how are you? Good morning.
Good. I don't know where to begin. I'm a fan. I have to say that I didn't think there would ever be a Jackass 2 because you were making money hand over fist doing legitimate Hollywood big budget.
Oh, legitimate.
Movies. Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, you're a popular hot actor in Hollywood now, and there's no reason for you to risk life and limb and go back and do Jackass 2 and then do quite a bit of stunts in Jackass 2. I thought if, in fact, you did come back, you would just be, you know, a supervisor, but you would not actually be doing the stunts yourself. So what convinced you to go back and do it?
Well, I mean, I was traveling around with the Wild Boys, you know, Steve-O and Pontius. Mm-hmm. I had a show, and I would go to all these different countries with them and do this kind of thing for zero money.
Right.
And apparently in Russia, I was pretty excited, and Tremaine, the director, pulled me aside and goes, well, if you're going to do this for no money, why don't we do it for the big screen and do it for some money?
And I imagine, well, some money, made $29 million last week. It more than doubled whatever was in second place.
More than tripled the Jet Li movie
in
second place.
More than tripled the Jet Li movie. And I imagine the first time around, maybe you guys didn't have as big an ownership stake in the movie. But I imagine now you're getting points, you're producing.
Oh, we got points the first time. But points, you know, kind of, you know, grew larger on this one.
So yeah,
we're all going to do, you know, all right if it's...
So you made sure that your buds, I mean, you're doing fine. Mm-hmm. Their financial career is or future is probably not as rock solid as yours, but you made sure they were all taken care of this time around.
Yeah, yeah. No, they made money last time, but and some of the guys are doing good without Jackass, but yeah, they're all going to do well as this continues, hopefully, to make money.
Well, we were talking about Steve-O strangling me on my TV show.
It's the greatest. I haven't seen anything better on TV for any television
really?
Show.
You yeah. love that.
It was. It's phenomenal. And you handled him so well.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I have a lot of training with dangerous human animals because I grew up in North Hollywood amongst a lot of super drunk guys who think it would be really funny to do horrible things to you when they're loaded. Steve-O, we thought, well, it'd be funny to get him loaded and have him do a stunt. We forgot that he shows up loaded, so he yeah. got loaded
he
on top of loaded. Yes, put his foot through the coffee table.
Oh, God. Accidentally, we were doing a photo shoot the other day, and I accidentally stabbed him.
You accidentally stabbed Steve-O?
Yeah, I was dressed as a general from the waist up.
Of course.
And I had a three-foot-long, I don't know, sword or saber. Mm-hmm. And I charged the wall, and I was going to stab the wall, and Steve-O was at my feet doing whippets. And he was on his 15th box, by the way.
Yeah.
Not too, and it might the sword bounced off the wall and went straight into his back like 3 inches. It was I've been freaked out over it.
Like, did this require medical care?
Yeah, I was like, because I mean I pulled the sword out of his back and he just looks up and goes, ow. I'm a Steve-O man.
But he
I
finished
was
his
out,
whippet,
like,
right?
Oh, you got to get to the emergency room. Nah, dude, I want to finish my whippets. Steve-O, you got to get to the emergency room. And he was just being stubborn because he was loaded. So was I. And we got him to the emergency room. Because when I pulled the sword out, I just saw red and I saw white flesh. And it went deep in, and the sword's about that wide.
Yeah.
I felt really rotten about it, but he loved it.
And did he...
So you have some guilt you're dealing with.
What is the over-under on Steve-O in terms of life expectancy? Yeah, I mean, we're talking November.
He held out of cockroaches.
Yeah, it is amazing. And was anyone seriously injured doing Jackass 2 during the filming of it?
Steve-O, sprained his back, and I almost, died a couple times. I guess I could have. I don't know. I don't know if that's being dramatic. A rocket exploded on me.
Yes.
And foot-long metal rods went out next to my side, and one of the rockets went shot 200 yards back and whizzed a couple of our crew guys' ears, and they're taking their head off.
Well, how do you figure out, and I saw that whoever's sitting in for Roger Ebert and Roper gave it to
Fred Willard, who I love.
Fred Willard and Roper, two big thumbs up for Jackass 2. But yeah. How do you figure out these stunts in advance, and does somebody pitch them to you, or do you guys all just sit around and figure them out?
Yeah, well, we don't try and figure them out too much. We write what we want to do, and there's no
testing.
No.
No research and development.
Well, we research a little. You know, we kind of knew how far the rocket was going to go and how high it was going to go up, but we didn't count on it. And they told us if it exploded, it'll fail backwards and forwards, and the rods will go out that way. But
right,
they'd never really put anyone on them before, and they're like, this is what we think's going to happen, but it's a rocket. So
if you're the one who comes up with the good idea of what to do, do you get to put it on somebody else?
No. You want to do it. Like if you know you don't want someone else to, like the one I saw with the yak when it smoked me. I saw that on a Tom and Jerry cartoon. And,
yeah.
You know, I put Tom puts the blindfold on, puts a cigarette in, and a bull smokes him. And no way was I giving that to anybody. That was mine.
Yeah. Dave smoked a bull once, but that was a totally different situation. But thank God we were rolling film on it, because that is some good stuff if you guys have YouTube. We actually have a clip of a Steve-O attempting to choke the life out of me on my TV show.
Oh,
I'm about to strangle you out of your own consciousness. I will kill you.
A second ago, you loved me.
I was.
No humping, no humping. Easy, buddy. We got to finish the segment. All right. Hold on. Steve-O. Steve-O, hold on.
One of the best clips in television history. Easy.
I was scared, and thank God my staff despised me on as it was the case on the TV show, as well as it is on the radio. No, I was scared that someone's going to jump in and try to help me, and thus we'd have to stop filming, but thankfully nobody did. There were just 12 guys standing around enjoying watching the boss man get strangled.
Well, I mean, there's nothing... Steve-O can't really cause any physical harm to you, you know.
I could have got Hep C.
Yeah.
I could have got pregnant.
There are a lot of things.
Crabs, lice.
That would have been a nice story when I got home for my wife. Oh. You got crabs, lice, Hep C, and pregnant? What happened, Steve-O?
Yeah, honestly, it was Steve-O, honey. Or that toilet seat.
One or the other.
Rob says, wait a minute. Becky was at the OR when Steve came in there. Is that what you say, Becky?
Yeah, I was at the emergency room with my sister, and all of a sudden, like, Steve-O walks in, and it was crazy. He was, like, shirtless and barefoot, and he was just walking in, and he got in immediately, dude, and I had to sit in there for 3 hours.
Well, he did have a knife in his back.
Yeah, I stabbed him pretty close to his spine.
Yeah.
Well, see, I couldn't see, like, what was going on with him. We were just kind of like, oh, cool, it's Steve-O, you know?
Right.
And then, you know how, like, they're really strict about the smoking rules in the hospital? He was, like, right by the door, you know? He got the good treatment, so... I was totally jealous, you know.
Right.
But
yeah, you were in there for cramping, by the way, and he had a sword hanging out of his back.
Is that what you had? Some cramps?
No, my sister had a panic attack.
Oh, please.
So it's kind of like...
Listen. Back in the day, you rubbed some dirt on that panic attack and get back out on the field.
You had a
panic
couple
attack.
Bolts and you were fine.
I would not drive anyone to the hospital who claimed the reason they needed to go to the operating room or the emergency hospital is because they were having a panic attack.
No, you kick them right in the taco and tell them to toughen up.
Right. Have a shot of bourbon.
You put a flip-flop on and kick them in the taco.
That'll
give you some panic about.
We need to take a break. Johnny Knoxville is in studio. We have the big three coming up next. The boys from Windy City Heat. Have you seen Windy City Heat?
I love huge fan of Windy City Heat. It's as funny as Blazing Saddles.
I gotta say, it's a movie that we produced, but I'm barely in it, and Kimmel's barely in it as well. I'm not saying it because it's our movie. It's just one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Hey, where are the white women at?
It's an underground sensation, but is now out on DVD.
As of yesterday, right?
Yes. Yeah, so if you want to hear what all the...
Please go buy a bunch.
Yes, of Windy City Heat. All right, we'll take a quick break. Those guys in next. Johnny, God bless you. Continued success with Jackass 2 in theaters as we speak, and we'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show from the cult classic Windy City Heat.
Red bat is the wooden bat. Don't hit Perry. You'd hurt him bad if you got smacked in the head with that. Blue bat, rubber. Rubber bat, mole. Mole.
Dude, I got it.
Red bat, real blue.
Yeah, red bat, blue bat. Let's do it. Let's rock this thing. Let's rock it. We're ready, Bob.
No, we're not. Get rid of that red bat.
He knows.
Bob.
Let's go.
All right.
Here we go.
Nice and
act. So, Stone...
Hey, I'll bet you didn't know my friend here brought you to play in the big leagues. Now, did ya?
It's a f***ing wooden bat, you asshole!
And now the big three, Mole, Don Barris, and Perry on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. Windy City Heat. Quentin Tarantino. Huge fan. Robin Williams.
Eminem.
Ben Stiller. Matt and Trey. Eminem. Favorite comedy of the year. It's out on DVD as of yesterday. You can go to adamcarolla.com and get the Amazon link. Go out and get it, and I'll tell you, you will not be disappointed.
Fantastic picture, yes.
All right, so the big three here to promote it. Good to see you guys.
Hello, guys.
Hey, guys.
Perry, great to see you guys. Fantastic.
Great to see you guys.
It's been a while. Great to see you guys, man.
Now, Perry is known for not only doing a Sam Kinison impersonation, yes?
Yeah. Oh!
Dude,
starting out big.
Wow. Do Foghorn Leghorn.
I'll say.
Jim Ignatowski.
Oh, you're looking for me now, aren't you?
Jack Carter. Do Jack Carter.
I don't do Jack Carter. Can I thank a bunch of people that I need to thank?
No, don't let them,
yes,
Adam.
Yes, I need to thank my fans.
Three people. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll thank at the end.
Three people.
All right.
That was your fans.
Wait a minute. Before he does that, Adam, what's your chances of getting the $10,000 for booking us as guests? Because we kind of...
$10,000 For you?
Well, now, if you guys got Johnny Knoxville in here, you know, then we could talk.
He was already just here.
He was already here.
I know. If you guys were responsible.
He got $28 million for the part two of Jackass.
Payne was all the
other. I want 40. I want $56 million for the release of Windy City. Hey, you sons of bitches.
I told you the man was funny, people. And if you get Windy City Heat, you're going to see it.
That's because he's Italian.
All right. Dynamic. So, fellas, we have a few things to do. First off, I think we're going to recreate a little old-time radio theater for the folks that are listening.
Tell us what we got. Well, you see, what we've decided as the Big Three, we came out with the movie. We had a public access show. It was the number one public access show in all of Los Angeles.
Wow.
Public access is only
shut up, Perry. Just shut up.
Okay, be professional.
Let him talk.
And so I thought that the only thing that we hadn't conquered was radio. Mm-hmm. Now, first I'll get in talk radio, but that's kind of a has-been type of format.
It's dried up.
Yeah.
I agree, yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to do the old-time radio type of thing with scenes and all that. Mm-hmm. And we're going to take a scene that was in Windy City Heat that
this never made it. That never made it into the final
it's
cut
a lost
of the movie.
Scene, Adam.
The lost Windy City Heat. Now, we'll do this like an old-time 30s radio episodic.
Could you be the narrator for this?
Sure, okay. I got this script here. So I'll play the narrator, and then you guys are just going to play you guys.
Do you guys have sound effects? Because there's sound effects in here.
Yeah.
Sweet.
That was a bell. That was a bell, wasn't it, Perry?
So, Perry, you're going to play Stone Fury, your character from Windy City Heat?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then you guys, Mole.
I'll play Brock, the Chicago thug.
And I'm Big Lou, the mob boss.
Same parts you play.
Absolutely.
In the movie, Windy City Heat. All right, shall we begin?
Yes.
All right.
Wait a minute, stop.
Perry's got a phone. I got a phone problem here.
He's not trying to be funny, unfortunately. He's just unprofessional.
Really unprofessional, dude.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Turn the phone off.
Okay. Is that going to happen again?
No, his phone is off.
All right.
Was it Quincy?
I don't know who it was.
We ready to get started?
Yes.
All right, I will narrate.
Sit down, Perry. You're really giving me the creeps. By the way, that shirt right there, where'd you get that?
I had it made.
Oh, really?
Windy City Heat promotional.
That's right.
T-shirt that's it looks bootleg. Like.
Brian, do we have any music that would be appropriate
like
for this?
Barris.
Old-timey radio music?
No, that's not a very popular band, unfortunately.
You don't get a lot of use for that?
Oh, geez.
Never. All right, we can play this.
This is good.
Something. This is something we never thought about?
I got the script at 8 a.m.
All right, buddy. Relax. Grow a hair.
That's nice.
All right, I'm going to start the narrator. Our scene opens on the banks of Lake Michigan outside a warehouse on the bad side of Chicago during a summer rainstorm. Inside the warehouse, we see our hero, Stone Fury, dressed in a greasy, filthy belly t-shirt with no underpants. He looks in the mirror.
Looks like Stone needs to shave.
Stone shaves his chest. Oh, there we go. Stone shaves his chest. Stone finishes shaving and looks around the warehouse at a wood pile.
Maybe I should chop some wood.
I think he said chop, not saw, but close enough. Suddenly, a car crashes through the wall. Suddenly a car crashes.
Brian.
I knew if I started talking it would step on what I was saying.
35 Vicodin away.
Brock, a Chicago thug, emerges from the car.
Hey Stone, you know who it is? It's me, Brock.
Yeah, I know it's Brock.
Suddenly, the dashing and charming crime boss, Big Lou, emerges from the car. He looks around the disgusting surroundings.
Well, well, well. Looks like you're still the disgusting crap of a human being that you've always been. Hey, could you put on some underpants or something? Hey, by the way, Stone, how's a guy have sex with a tool that small?
I know. Is that a penis or a stack of dimes?
Shut up, Brock.
No. You shut up, Stone.
Big Lou slaps Stone across the face.
There's no slap.
Better have a slap sound. Oh, wait a second.
I'm
trying to be professional.
It sounded good. It sounded good.
Hold on. We did that. He did that in person. That was not a sound effect.
Get your line. Wow.
Don't get mad at me. I've done nothing except I followed the script.
Okay, but listen, next time we're out of a sound effect, don't reach across and punch the star of the movie.
No, I didn't punch him. I slapped him. What does it say in the script?
Well, it says slap.
He looks like a kitty cat.
It says sound effect of a face slap, but let Brian pull that up.
He said he didn't have it.
Well, give him a minute.
Okay.
Hey, take it from the slap.
All right, let's just...
take it from the slap?
Let's just keep moving forward here. Mm-hmm. Big Lou slaps Stone across the face. Wait. All right. Hold on.
Sit down!
All right, we don't have that.
To your line, Peg.
To your lines.
Owie! Hey, look, a kitty cat.
Stone tries to distract them and run away. Big Lou is too smart for him.
Forget the cat. You're the pussy. Now get back here.
Big Lou violently pulls Stone's hair.
No sound effect?
You don't have a hair pulling sound effect? Well, I guess just have to turn.
Don's pulling Perry's hair. Perry now going after
this
Don.
Is not good.
Okay,
let's stop. I'm trying to do what the script says. Jeez,
roughhousing.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, let's just move forward
here.
Okay,
you just got kicked in the shin pretty bad.
I know it.
Okay, keep going, Big Lou.
It doesn't say kick in the shin. It says pull hair, period.
Be professional, Perry.
Go ahead, Big Lou, sorry.
Be professional. Be professional. Sit there and read the script. Don't touch.
I read this script.
Don't touch me.
What does that say? Violent hair pulling. That's what I did.
Let's just push forward, fellas.
Look at all the hair I pulled out.
Yeah, it looks like you saved him a trip to the beauty salon.
Big Lou and Brock, high five.
No high five.
No. Oh, we do. Okay, so you guys had to create that one yourself.
Let's beat up Stone some more.
Sounds good.
Where the
to
hell
me.
Is this?
Oh, well, now there's a violent beating sound effect. We don't have that. Hey,
he's getting double teamed. Mole is holding Perry, and Don's working him over.
Look at that face.
Don't spit my face.
I'm going to keep pushing here.
What? He's being really unprofessional.
You know what? I want to say this. We came on the radio show to promote a movie, not be jerk-offs.
Big Lou and Brock get in their car and leave.
Let's get out of here, Brock.
We should have someone else read Stone Fury.
You know what? Maybe that's the best idea.
Is there anybody else we could get to read this part, Stone Fury, just the end of it?
No.
Yeah, I got to believe we could do better. We could do better in Paris.
Wait a minute. If I could get Johnny Knoxville to come in here, would I get the $10,000?
Well, it'd be a start,
Look at... Now, wait a second. The 10 grand, huh?
Hey, Mr. Johnny Knoxville.
Ladies and gentlemen, the guest that I brought in, Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny Knoxville is only the actor for Jackass, because Johnny Knoxville is also a jackass.
Well, hey.
First of all, you want to mess with me, you guys? You're going to lose.
Johnny, do you mind?
He already won. $28 million.
I just want to say I'm a huge, huge fan of Windy City Heat.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
And sorry it only got released on DVD. And man, I would kill to, read for
Do you
Windy
think you
City.
Could handle the part of Stone Fury, Johnny?
I am Stone Fury.
Oh, you are Stone. I like that.
I love Windy City Heat. I love Stone Fury.
Wait a minute.
I think, instead of being on DVD, I could actually get it in theaters for you guys.
That would be sweet.
What?
Yeah.
Hey, that would be cool.
Well, let's get rid of Perry.
With me is Stone Fury.
Right. Before you do that, we've got a contract if you'd sign this right here.
So you guys talking about remaking the movie starring Johnny Knoxville using his juice to get a wide release in the theater.
Is there actually a real Windy City Heat 2, maybe?
Well, we'd like to do it. It's in the mix.
I would kill. I would do anything to be in Windy City Heat 2.
So you're going
to
fire me?
Would you want to play Stone? Would you play Stone Fury?
You're going to fire me, the star of the movie?
Perry, I'm just saying that Windy City Heat is such a great franchise.
Thank you.
I'd like to be the new Stone Fury and get it in theaters. I think I could. If the role was handled properly, someone could win an Oscar, and I think I could win that Oscar.
Wow.
Can I ask you something, Johnny?
Yeah.
Now, you're known for pain. Perry complains. I slap him one time and he freaks out.
I heard that. Perry, I'm sure you're a good guy, but I don't think you've earned the right to play Stone Fury.
Yeah,
You can't endure pain.
Okay. Let me reset for one second. What's going on
You're
here?
You're going to screw me.
We have the big three from Windy City Heat in here. Number one was a nice cult hit, but it didn't really make any money. Yeah. It's out on DVD now.
Oh,
it did not
it
make any real money.
It hasn't even been out yet.
The point is, I'm going to have you tossed out of my studio if you do not contain yourself.
See, you got to get someone professional in the room. Number two,
Windy City Heat 2, starring Johnny Knoxville, can get a wide release.
Stone Fury to get a wide release,
and we can make some money. And Perry, let me say, we would make room for you on the set. I don't know if it's in craft service. I don't know if it's maybe Johnny's personal assistant. Yeah. Whatever it is, don't worry. You'd wet your beak. It's just Johnny Knoxville's name is going to give us the juice to push us over the top.
We could give you a cameo.
I'll take a cameo, but I would prefer, I don't want a cameo.
No,
I'm the
okay.
Look, there is only one Stone Fury, and that is me.
Johnny Knoxville, that's right. Okay, let's just see if we can run a few lines with Johnny here and see how it feels.
Why don't we take it from Perry getting slapped?
But honestly, usually before I read for a role, my contract is kind of filled out, and this one's not filled out. I don't see anything about a fee.
How much do you need?
I don't want to get in one of those conversations. How much can you offer? I mean, I got the number one movie in America right now.
I'm authorized to give you $10 million for the next deal.
No. Mike August says $10
million. What about me getting $10 million?
$10 million.
I'm getting screwed again.
Yeah, just fill in $10 million and sign your name against it. That'll be fine. We'll have a check.
Wait, right here.
Before you get into this, before we completely throw Perry out, you know, Johnny has done some nice work in film, but we're kind of a little bit different. We work a little differently.
Whatever I got to do.
Well, could you prove that you could be hurt?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I've proved enough
that I could be hurt in
Jackass. I think it pretty much it's up to Perry to prove that he could be hurt.
You know what I liked in the movie?
I liked in the movie.
You're not willing to, you're not willing to fight for your role? In the movie? You're not willing to fight for Stone Fury?
What, you mean I gotta physically fight?
Not physically fight, but that maybe like a couple of tests.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. What do you think, Mo?
Because everyone knows I'm tough enough to be Stone Fury.
Right. Why don't you both do the same thing? Hold on a second.
You know what I liked in the movie is when you did that stuff with the mouse traps.
Perfect.
Did anybody have any mice traps?
I actually had. It's so funny. We were at the bar last night doing stuff with a mouse trap.
Oh, you did this stuff?
Yeah, you have a mouse trap. Would you like to do something with a mouse trap to try and prove your Stone Fury?
Stone Fury could do that.
All right, so get your balls out, and let's put your balls in a mouse
trap.
Show them. Okay. Well,
show them, Perry.
Your balls in a mouse trap?
Balls in a mouse trap.
I've seen it done. It can be done.
Let's do it. Do it.
You want the roll or not?
Do it.
Johnny Knoxville has a mouse trap.
In the movie.
You first.
He already did it.
I have the roll. I just signed the contract. I have the role of Stone Fury.
Congratulations, Perry.
$10 million.
Done deal.
I'm sorry, Perry, but I want
$10 million if I do the balls in a mousetrap.
No, that's up to the producers.
I want a contract for myself.
It's up to the producers.
Where's my contract?
Yeah.
He gets his contract. Nobody gives me a contract.
Perry, he's a freaking star.
I'm a star.
It's called good faith. Now let's go.
Either you want the role or not. Come over here. Let's do it.
I want the contract.
Come here.
Come on. I do nothing without a contract.
Okay, then.
Okay, Johnny Knoxville.
The next Stone Fury. Johnny Knoxville.
Congratulations.
You really don't care about your role that much? Takes 2 seconds.
Do it, Perry. You're Italian, dude.
Come on. Bring him over here. Come on, Perry.
All right.
Perry, I would look at you as a man if you did this.
Fine. Here
we go.
Get your balls out.
Move the fanny pack aside.
Well, Perry.
Hey, this is radio. Sometime today, Perry. Come on.
I'll turn my back while you take your balls out. Actually, sidling up to Johnny Knoxville, who is holding a mouse trap, and not one of the sticky traps earlier in the week.
No, this is an actual mouse trap.
You've done this. How much does this hurt, Johnny?
Oh, look at the underwear.
Oh, wow. Let's get the balls out. Wow, you have a little penis. It looks like an egg in a nest. Okay, you ready? Put him on here.
All right. He's putting his scrotum sack.
No, you gotta lift. You gotta lift your penis up. Okay.
Put the scrotum sack onto the mousetrap.
Oh! Okay, you gotta do the other one.
No!
Put your penis out. It's $10 million. Who wouldn't do this for $10
million? I'd do it for $10 million.
I know I
would. Contract for $10
million. At the chance of $10
million. If I get a town contract for my $10 million, I'll do it.
Put your penis out.
Where's my $10 million contract?
Perry, just be Perry, professional.
This is an audition. I heard you were late today.
No, your penis, not your balls.
Put your penis
in there. Okay, drop your penis on there. Drop it on there. Move your hand. Move your hand. Oh, wow.
Well, he did it.
Jackass 2!
I'm sorry.
I didn't scream when I had mine done, but that's pretty good.
That's true.
Johnny, you are a pro. I'm sorry, Perry. I still like Johnny Knoxville in this role. I'm sorry.
Can I bring up something?
Yes.
I was watching the extras. I saw some footage of when you lost your wallet at your house, and Perry found your wallet. And the camera was on, and he went through your wallet and took money out.
Yeah.
Did you know the cameras were rolling when you stole money from him?
Sure.
No, you.
But
at first you did.
The money.
All right.
Did I knew that the cameras were rolling.
No, you didn't know that.
Sure did.
Please, you were a
liar. Hold on, everybody.
I knew that the cameras were rolling. The camera was pointing at
Perry.
Me.
Perry.
How does your penis
feel? Put your junk in a bucket of ice and cool your jets for a second, because we are way, way late. We got to wrap this up. So, the big three. Scary Perry, thank you for putting your joint in a mousetrap.
The new big three. Excuse me. The new and improved
Johnny
big
Knoxville.
Three.
No,
the new and improved big three.
No, thank you, everybody.
Big three 2000.
Windy City Heat, everyone.
Big three.
Windy City Heat out on DVD. Go to AdamCarolla.com and find a link to buy it.
Hey, Johnny, did you hear about your girlfriend with Don?
What happened?
Your girlfriend with Don.
All right.
Just a few minutes ago.
Perry.
What
were in the green room, and Don was trying to get some off of his... Off
all right, you guys can Duke.
Are you trying to start something with me?
No, I'm not starting.
Duke it out during the commercial break.
It's not my style.
We're going to be back with news and sports after this.
Yay!
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh? Poser.
The Adam Carolla Show. Here's another line you'll never hear in a porno with Playboy TV's Jessie Jane.
I can't make it to the party. I have to run out and buy Post-it notes.
You dirty little bitch. Let's get back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Scary Perry and Johnny Knoxville getting into a fist fight in the studio. And then when Brusca threw him out of the studio, got into a fist fight in the hall. And I assume we're still fighting in the hallway.
It spilled out into the parking garage.
Oh, okay. Well, fantastic. And yes, he did put his penis in a mouse trap.
And then left it right in front of me on my computer.
Knoxville stole Scary Perry's hat.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like that, and so they started to get into a fist fight.
Well, you don't steal a man's fedora. All right, Teresa.
Yes.
What do you got with the news, baby doll?
I will keep my comments brief. Last night on the Larry King Live Show, Anna Nicole Smith's lawyer, Howard K. Stern, went on and dropped a bombshell about who is the daddy of the little girl she had 3 days before her son died. Oh, Brian. I just saw a man's penis in a mouse trap. Now this.
In a relationship, and we love each other, and it's been going on for a very long time. And because of my relationship as her lawyer, we felt that it was best to keep everything hidden.
Sure have. So you are the father?
Yes, sir. Proud father.
Well, it'll be nice. He'll be able to draft his own divorce papers.
That is convenient.
It's one thing if you say you're TFing Anna Nicole Smith, but it's another thing to say you're deeply in love.
TF?
I'll do the math for you.
Okay.
I'll do the math for you off the air. But the point is to say you're deeply in love means you're insane.
I got it. deep something else is okay.
That's
not
right.
Deep love.
Not love.
Okay. If you bought Dr. Phil's Shape Up diet plan or products, you could be owed $12.50.
That's because, effing stupid?
Well, here's what happened. A couple people got together and they said, you know what? These pills and such don't work. So they filed a class action suit against Dr. Phil's Shape Up plan. And now he must pay out $10.8 million under the terms of the settlement. He does not have to admit any wrongdoing and his insurance will be covering the cost of the settlement.
It's ironic that half the diet related stuff involves eating.
Right.
I know it sounds, you know, simple, but it is weird. Diet bars, diet chocolates, diet candies, diet pills. Half the stuff involving diets involves throwing something in your mouth.
It's true.
And that's where the problem comes from. The more you know.
Thank you.
What else?
If only there were more time, but there's not. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I too shall keep my comments brief because we have one of the great pugilists there is, Oscar De La Hoya, coming up in just a minute. I'll just say quickly, Dodgers won last night. Padres won last night. Phillies lost. Padres still now up then 2 games in the National League West. Dodgers now with a 1-game lead on the Phillies in the wild card race. But, of course, the big story in sports, nay, the Globe, Terrell Owens, Dallas Cowboys star receiver, tried to kill himself allegedly last night.
T-O-O-D.
He was taking painkillers for his broken finger, and his publicist called the ambulance because he was, maybe tried to kill himself, they say, or now she claims, at least here's what ESPN is reporting, that he wasn't trying to kill himself. Here's a little bit more from Trey Wingo of ESPN.
The publicist for Terrell Owens, Kim Etheridge, has come out and said this was not an attempted suicide. Rather, T.O. was feeling some pain because of the finger and also feeling some nausea because of the medication. She then added he took some supplements and that created a reaction. And the reason he said yes to the question, were you trying to hurt yourself, Kim Etheridge is now saying that's because Terrell Owens was groggy from all the medication and did not know essentially what they're asking.
Well, I wish you weren't a liar.
Then again, he also supposedly took about 35 of these painkillers.
The way to go if you're T.O. is take that hyperbaric chamber that you sleep in and hook it up to the Denali. That's the way to snuff yourself, your T.O. He gets inside a big sleeping bag and sleeps to heal himself every night. Hook that right up to the exhaust of the Denali, and you're done.
This is it. This really, one way or the other, is a crazy story. I almost feel bad for making fun of T.O. Almost. But anyway, let's get to Oscar De La Hoya.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Well, we'll take a quick break, and then six-time world champion Oscar De La Hoya will be on the phone. We'll talk to him about fighting and much, much more after this. I've been here for years,
rocking my pants, put salt and beer. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
First punch of the fight is a De La Hoya jab.
Already there is a cut alongside the left eye of Chavez. It looks like a scrape. Not dangerous, but it's very early in the fight for blood to be showing.
It came from the one right cross that De La Hoya landed, and now more blood as De La Hoya again lands with the right. And Chavez is already starting to flow above the left eye. And De La Hoya is landing that right hand, George.
The Golden Boy, Oscar De La Hoya, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, I'm glad I used De La Hoya as an example when I was kissing Sugar Ray Leonard's ass in studio a couple days back of another guy who's good-looking and he's well-spoken so people don't think he has the heart of a lion. But he does. And he's Oscar De La Hoya. He's on the phone. Good to talk to you, Oscar.
Good to talk to you, Adam. How's it going?
It's going well.
All right.
You should have been here. We just had Johnny Knoxville put someone's penis in a mousetrap.
I should have been there, yeah.
If you were smart, you get that Golden Boy Productions on that. That's a pay-per-view. So you're here with us today not to talk about promoting an upcoming fight, but to talk about a show on the History Channel.
Right. We have a show coming out, a documentary based on the the Mexican-American War, which is pretty interesting. I mean, obviously, it's Mexican Heritage Month, and I think it's you know, we did a special on that war. Took several months. The reenactments are just incredible. We went on location in Mexico. It's actually an outstanding documentary.
So you'll be hosting it.
I'll be narrating it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more of like an educational piece where I think the youth of today you know, should know. I mean, what really happened? What you know, where it took place? Why it happened? So it's pretty interesting.
It's funny because they handed me a card on you, and at the top it said the Mexican American War, and I just thought, well, he's promoting a fight. Oscar De La Hoya's on the phone. Vinny Pazienza must be getting it on with Hector Camacho. I thought that'd be a good name for white guy and a Mexican guy. Go at it. That's a nice name for a title fight, better than, you know, Bleeda in the Street or whatever you go with. But I didn't know you're getting in the documentary game. So this is Friday nights, or Friday night, I should say, at 8 o'clock.
Friday night, 8 o'clock.
And what about you? When is your next fight?
Well, Adam, I'm gonna fight him next year. I decided to fight my last fight, my retirement fight, in May, in Las Vegas. And I know you love Las Vegas, right?
Yes. Who you gonna fight?
Well, I'm looking at Floyd Mayweather Jr., which obviously he's billed as the best pound for pound fighter in the world today. So, you know, I think it'll be a pretty neat way to go out, hopefully on top, fighting against the best.
Well, it is. You've picked quite a challenge for yourself because Floyd is a great boxer, and
absolutely.
So is Oscar De La Hoya. And Oscar, who people thought may have slowed down a little bit a few years back, don't feel that way anymore. Do you feel that way yourself?
Well, you know what? I had this this victory against Ricardo Mayorga, who was talking so much trash. I mean, this guy was talking about my wife. He was talking about my kids. He was talking about everybody I know. And you know, I was fortunate enough to give him a good beating in May. And so, you know, that was pretty satisfying. But I felt really good. I felt, you know, strong. I felt fast. I felt fresh. So, you know, I think in May against Floyd Mayweather Jr., I think I have a shot.
And you'll do that. You'll get a huge payday and obviously then continue promoting fights as well, right?
Absolutely. We started Golden Boy Promotions 4 years ago, and now we are the leading promotional firm in the world today. You know, we have the fighters like Sugar Shane Mosley signed up. We have Manny Pacquiao, who we just signed. Mm-hmm. Marco Antonio Barrera, Bernard Hopkins. We have Winky Wright. So our stable is growing, and I think the idea behind it, Adam, was to empower the fighters to join forces and hopefully one day bring boxing back to where it was when they were filling up the Yankee Stadium where boxing was very popular.
Yeah, I mean, people who may not know much about boxing, these things used to put people in the polo grounds and stuff. There would be 100,000 people set up for one of these fights, and no big screens either, just people willing to sit, you know, a half mile from the squared circle and watch these pugilists go at it for 300 rounds.
Oh, it was amazing, and I think we can bring that back. You know, it's just a matter of empowering the fighter, making sure the fighter is taken care of, making sure there's transparency in the sport, and I think we're on the right road.
Oscar De La Hoya is on the phone. Oscar, what do you think? We spoke to Lennox Lewis about a week ago. He hinted that he might come back if the fight was right. Wow. Do you think he's going to come back?
Well, he's looking good. He's looking in great shape. I think he's in the gym working out. And I think, you know what? He might come back. I mean, the way the heavyweight division is today, mm-hmm. I mean, it's horrible. It's horrible. We don't have an exciting fighter like the Tysons and the Lennox Lewis to watch. You know, I mean, you have to go and watch an overweight, out of shape James Toney fight. You know, I mean, it's not fair for the fan who wants to pay their money or watch good boxing fights on TV. So if Lennox Lewis comes back, I'm all for it.
Who has been your toughest opponent beside your battle with depression?
I think it was
Hopkins?
Fernando Vargas.
Oh, Vargas.
Yeah, Fernando Vargas.
Yeah, he is tough, but...
All the trash talking he did, oh, my God.
Did he talk about your wife, too?
He talked about the wife. He talked about my dogs. He talked about everything.
But on one hand, you don't like to hear it. On the other hand, that's just a bigger payday for you because you got a taste of the pay-per-view, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you get a taste of the pay-per-view, but, I mean, you have to just, you know, 3 months straight listening to his nonsense.
Yeah.
It was just, ugh.
Well, you let your fist do your talking, and not in the way I do with my senior Wences thing where I put lipstick on my thumb and go, it's all right, it's all right. You actually let your fist do the talking.
Adam, when I landed that left hook and knocked him out, it was the most gratifying punch I've ever felt ever in since I've been in the game. So,
And you did that when he was roided up, right? He tested positive for... steroids, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he was pretty strong. I mean, I have to admit, he was very strong. And obviously, after the fight, he did test positive.
Oscar De La Hoya, the Mexican-American War. It's on the History Channel Friday night, 8 o'clock. I love the History Channel. I love boxing, so I will be watching. Hey, Oscar, come see us in the studio when you can.
Absolutely, as long as you have the juggies there.
Oh, I'm in the juggies. Yeah, everyone wants the juggies.
You're stuck with me, and believe me, there's not much juggie there.
No. Thanks, Oscar.
Adam, a pleasure. Thank you.
We'll talk soon. Oscar De La Hoya, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Jessie Jane, and every time I get invited to come to the Adam Carolla Show, I end up taking off my clothes. I mean, I have opinions on stuff.
Andy Dick is coming in here tomorrow. It's always interesting because he's oftentimes high and says things he doesn't want to say.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, he's... Well, we'll get an Andy Dick tomorrow. Perez Hilton in here tomorrow, who says things other people don't want him to say as well. And also, Yergi is going to do his porn directing debut in here tomorrow. Well, just enough time for a little segment called So, What Have We Learned? Well, we've learned that the only thing worse than working blue is working brown. Ask the poor guy at the drive-thru at the North Hollywood Jack in the Box what he thinks about that. Also, we've learned that we cannot wait for Windy City 2, starring Johnny Knoxville. Windy City Heat 2. That is going to be a winner. And they're still fighting out in the parking structure if anyone's interested pairing Johnny Knoxville. And last, we learned, I let my fists do the talking. With the lipstick, the little sombrero, and the mini poncho. Is that right? Is that right? Funny stuff.
Good times.
All right. Well, I want to give some thanks out. Of course, the big three from Windy City Heat. You can get a link to that if you want to buy Windy City Heat, the DVD. You can go to our website, adamcarolla.com, and we'll set you up. Johnny Knoxville, Jackass, number 2 in theaters right now. Oscar De La Hoya. I want to thank the Luxor Hotel for sponsoring that little getaway weekend. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo.